B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
All right, it's show 5 1/4. John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. We appreciate you being in with us early this morning on this Thursday morning. We look forward to the weekend coming around, and tomorrow we will be live at the Rally House in Fairless Hills, where you will be trotting out your, I guess, most obscure jerseys to go and win gift cards to win fabulous upgrades to your jerseys that you're going to be bringing in tomorrow. Understand there's some crazy ones out there, but we start the day with this. Happy birthday, Bob Cooney.
Happy birthday. Thank you.
A January birthday. And Bob
born in a blizzard.
There you go. How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
Well, last night we had a thunderstorm.
You were born in a blizzard and got married in a blizzard.
Yeah, I know. I think I'll probably go out on a blizzard, too.
You are.
Keep an eye on the forecast.
Bob, why wouldn't you pass in the summer?
Every time they predict like 10 inches of snow, I get nervous as hell.
You think you're either getting married or someone's having a baby.
Or I'm going.
Oh, please don't do that to us.
Or I'm out of here.
Let's not have that.
Thanks for the signs and all, Coach. You're a good man. It's pretty cool.
It is his birthday.
This morning with all the signs
posted.
Happy
birthday, Bob.
I appreciate you.
All right, Bob, in the morning mind bender, let's see if your mind is still very active. This item weighs about 7 pounds and costs the NFL about $50,000. What is it? Come on, Coach.
It's easy.
It's simple.
I was thinking it was the Lombardi Trophy.
I think it's the Lombardi.
I think the Lombardi weighs more than 7 pounds. It's awfully light.
I don't think it does.
You're going to go Lombardi?
Yeah. I'm going Lombardi. Or, wait a minute.
Coach, if it isn't, just say it isn't and let us get another guess.
Pat, I think if it's Lombardi, you need to tender your resignation because you've gotten lazy with
it. Or is it the Halas Trophy? Could it be the Halas for the NFC?
No, I think it's the Lombardi.
How much do you think helmets cost?
100, 200 bucks. 180, 200 bucks.
NFL helmets, you think that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking 180, 200 bucks. What is it, Coachy?
7 pounds, $50,000, and made of complete sterling silver.
Oh, it is.
It is the Lombardi Trophy.
Get out.
There you go.
Get out. You've gotten lazy.
Kind of a week after.
He was trying to trick you. He was trying to trick you, Pat.
No, he wasn't. That's the thing.
He thought it was the Halas Trophy that you'd go NFC title game week.
I wasn't going to do that.
You'd think it was. Did you know it was the Halas Trophy?
No.
Could have went Stanley Cup, Lord Stanley's Cup.
The NFL yes. Paying for Lord Stanley's Cup.
No.
It's more than 7 pounds.
The bolt strategy. Yeah, it's like 35, 40.
It doesn't
That surprises me. It's only 7 pounds.
Well, it's hollow inside.
Correct.
Huh.
I mean, it just has that lip, but it is
weak.
Still that. There's good stuff. On Bob's birthday, we get rolling today, and we thank you for being with us. The rains are gone. It is now clear through championship weekend here in Philadelphia. We're going to have no more rain, no more anything like that, so that's good news. The Eagles being underrepresented in postseason awards finalists, though, is being treated as disrespect. Now, though I don't understand for the life of me how Nick Sirianni isn't a favorite for a coach of the year above Brian Daboll, I can't imagine. But I look at it, though, as another way other than disrespect. Could it be a sign of great respect when it comes to Nick Sirianni and the Eagles organization? I think the national media understands that the Eagles are loaded and they can't decide which guy gets all the credit for one of the greatest teams in recent history and one of the greatest rosters in recent history. That's Howie Roseman. Executive of the year should be Howie Roseman when all things are done. Mm-hmm. He should get that. But I think of it as more as the national media can't decide what's so great about the Eagles. Is it that amazing defense? Is it Jalen? Is it Jalen Hurts? Is it these wide receivers? Are the Eagles loaded over everybody else so they should just be better? To me, it's not necessarily disrespect. It may just be someone not being able to pull the trigger on who they think's good. The most responsible.
Okay. You're taking the good look at it. I like that. I appreciate that.
It's just a fresh eyes look at it.
Yeah. Do we think too much sometimes? I mean...
Well,
what team is the story of the NFL season? It has to be the Philadelphia Eagles.
It should be.
And you have the third-ranked overall offense, the second-ranked overall defense. You're talking about a crew that is just great all around. And who oversees it? The head coach. This is ridiculous to me.
What?
And I'm going to get more into it later on about different other things also. But, I just think it's a total overthinking. I don't think there's any question that Nick Sirianni's the NFL head coach of the year.
Well, I think the clue is this. Brian Daboll, first of all, got absolutely humiliated twice when he was trying to win a big game against the Eagles. Once at home, once on the road. And Daboll oversaw a Giants team. And I want to remind everybody, preseason, the Giants were favored to win 7.5 games by Las Vegas. The Eagles were favored to win 9.5 games by Las Vegas. Giants won 9, a game and a half better than expectations. Eagles won 14, which is 4.5 better. So even if you're talking about, well, the Eagles are loaded. Remember, the Eagles were not predicted to win more than 9.5 games. That was the number.
Yeah.
Everybody was right there. So any talk of, well, the Eagles are so loaded and Daboll had a team. Daboll was expected to win 2 less games than the Eagles, and he didn't. Pat, is it a, but I, again, don't like the nobody likes us, we don't care crap.
Oh, we care.
Because we care big time.
But I think you hit it. I think you hit it on the head. I think people look at the Eagles roster and say they're loaded, and they are. I think Daboll should be in consideration for.
Yes, in consideration,
He had a top 5, top 10 worst team in football to work with that didn't add much in the offseason in terms of free agents. And he took them to the playoffs, and he didn't have to backdoor his way in. He got in on his own merit. I think he definitely deserves to be in there. Ultimately, I mean, it doesn't really matter, but for whatever reason, I take it as a personal attack because it's not so much him, but the Defensive Player of the Year award. I got
that's the
about.
One I got.
But with the Coach of the Year, I looked at the coaches that were nominated. I didn't necessarily have a problem with any of them over Nick Sirianni because his team is loaded. His the talent level he has is up there, and he didn't deal with injuries. He didn't deal with this hurdle that you have to get over. I'm thrilled about that, by the way, but I just think that when push came to shove, it was Daboll, Peterson. And who was the third one?
Why am I drawing a blank? But Peterson was the one. He was 4-0 against all of them, by the way.
That's
another thing. Shanahan.
So Shanahan had to deal with the Jimmy Garoppolo
injury. Lance.
Incredible.
Shanahan's done a great job.
Peterson had to deal with the worst, literally the worst team in football, and took him to the playoffs. And then Daboll, as we talked about, so I didn't have a problem.
And
with
won
him.
A game.
But Peterson, the year that they went to the Super Bowl and won it, it was a similar situation. Like he had beaten all the candidates, and he wasn't nominated.
Do you believe there is a Philly bias? Because I've heard Kevin Negandhi talk about it on with Anthony Gargano, and I disagree with Kevin. Because I know in my years at ESPN, there is absolutely a heavy New York and Northeast Patriots, Jets, Giants people in that building. And I think there is just a mode of let's cater to, especially at a time, let's cater our coverage to, let's cater the focus to them. They never want to focus on Philadelphia.
Well, does the Associated Press writers throughout the country have a bias towards Philadelphia? Like I have a... I was a beat writer. Do I sit here and say, man, you know what? Those Dallas Mavericks, they just like... Mark Cuban gets on my nerves. I'm not voting for any of those. Like, I don't think they care. I hear you.
You have integrity.
But I've also been around many, many, many sports writers throughout the country that you don't have most... I didn't find anyone that had a personal vendetta against a city.
Wow.
It's probably that would take it out on, like, this whole process. Say, oh, yeah. Do you think a sports writer, a guy that's traveled all over the country, or a girl that's traveled all over the country and covered their team, really gives a flying fart that the Sixers, like, chose to tank
for?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Trust me, they don't.
I've read a couple,
but I'm telling you, by far, the majority around the country.
It's not everybody. I'm not saying that either.
What,
but you said, do you believe that people have biases? I do.
I said majority.
And agendas, too. I do believe there's a lot of agendas. I know this, when the Eagles make the Super Bowl, you're going to read piece after piece about the crappy city of Philadelphia, their crappy fans. You'll read San Francisco, I know already this week. Oh, here's the warnings. You're going to their stadium. This is what happens in their city.
Well, it's true, and that's what we want.
Yeah, but the thing is, it really isn't at the link. That's not true. In fact, the link.
You don't think it's a tough place to play?
Arrests at the link. No, they warn their fan bases. Arrests at the link are in the bottom half of the NFL. Compared to other stadiums. So, I mean, like, it's... what I'm saying is that there are biases. People are writing... They write the pieces.
Well, I like that bias because it'll keep the opposing fan base away from here. So, I do like that. But, I know what you mean. It's hard for me to say there isn't... And maybe it's me putting on a tinfoil hat conspiracy theories. But it's hard for me to say there's not a bias against at least the Sixers in a way when Joel Embiid has the season he does and... He loses out on MVP.
I don't understand it. And, well, then it's up for Joel leading. Saturday to prove it, though.
It is, and I can't wait for that game. But I mean,
yeah, they sat Jokic last night. They rested him.
Good.
Yeah,
come in here rested. You can catch these hands.
That's tough, Pat, guy. Pat,
Pat, are you just throwing hands all weekend?
So with Jokic, I won't say that to his face because he's bigger than me, but also his brothers are usually in attendance.
Yes,
it's not like Russell Westbrook where he's like the fakest tough guy in the league, but. I'll say it on the air because I'm in a studio and you guys are here.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Jokic isn't going to travel.
I look at the Hassan Redick as the biggest slight.
That's a joke to me.
It's the biggest slight. That's absolutely ridiculous that he is not there in that mix. And I was just on with Amy Lawrence talking on her national show talking about the fact that I think it's a joke that, like, to me, Jalen Hurts is the MVP. And I know that it's easy to say, oh, well, what about Patrick Mahomes? I don't think Patrick Mahomes had a better year than Jalen Hurts. And I think what Patrick Mahomes did was the expected, and what Jalen Hurts did was the unexpected.
Yeah.
So I think that makes Jalen Hurts the MVP, period.
Well, unless the expected is so much better than what somebody else can do. Like, if I expect somebody to lead my team to 14 wins every year and throw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns and a few interceptions and be the most dynamic guy... But another guy led his team to 14 wins.
Well, the Chiefs had Chiefs had the second best odds to go to the Super Bowl before the year.
Yeah, because he's such a great player, right?
I get you. No, I get you.
You know, like, the talk has so become awards. Like, last night in the middle of the game, somebody said something about it. I think it was the Sixers game. They're talking about, you know, this guy could be rookie. At least he'll make the all-rookie team. Who cares?
And I know...
You know, like, who cares about all rookie teams and all defensive teams? And, like, you're mired in the middle of an important season. Every season's important. And the dialogue, and I don't mean here now with us.
Sure.
But I mean, like, that's really in the head of a broadcaster's... In the mind of a broadcaster during a game, like, oh, this guy, he'll probably be first team all rookie. Like,
Are
awards starting to rule our day a little too much?
No, but I think the broadcaster's saying that for the casual fan that tunes in that doesn't realize that
fair
rookie,
enough.
Right.
Like, it's hey, this guy's really good. He's so good, he'll probably make the all-rookie team.
Well, it's also, too, one of those things that I would say to you is that, like, Bob, when we talk about agendas of writers, I saw it with Eddie Murray. I saw it with Terrell Owens. I've seen it with others where writers literally have an agenda against an athlete and they say, we don't care what the criteria is. We don't care what their career looked like. We're going to punish them because we didn't like them. I've seen personal agendas carried out by voters over and over again, all because of slights. Eddie Murray didn't talk to us, so we're going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. We're going to make him pay. We're going to make him wait. We're going to make Terrell Owens, he was an ass to us, we're going to make him wait. We're using our bias. We're using our power because we're writers.
Bias against writers.
No, but I've seen over and over again because I've seen. No, I have a bias against that behavior. It just happens to me.
I don't like that behavior
either.
And it's embarrassing. Embarrassed that Scott Rowland got into the pretty. Not embarrassed, I shouldn't say.
Right, exactly.
But you know, yeah. Like, what are we thinking here? What's going on? I do at times say, like, what's going on? And it looks bad on writers. I agree with you. I don't think there's a majority bias throughout the country of Philadelphia.
I don't believe, but I can tell you from working at two major sports networks for 15 years that inside their halls, there absolutely is. There absolutely is a negative.
Well, Kevin Negandhi's biased towards Philadelphia.
Oh, he tries to.
Yeah.
He tries to balance it out.
He's not biased.
He's objective as hell.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's from Philly, so he can't be biased.
Hey, Staples stores are a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore more at your local Staples store or visit staplesconnect.com. Before we get to that big Sixers win last night, does my wife now, being a new Philadelphian, ask this all the time? Well, I live in Chester County, she says. I don't live in Philly. So am I a Philadelphian? I'm like, yes, this is Philly, honey. This is what it is. Kevin DeGondi's from Phoenixville, which is like 30 miles outside of Philly, 35 miles outside of Philly. What encompasses, because I know people who are biased against people who live outside of the city limits. Mm-hmm. Within the city, you go, well, you're not a Philadelphian, you live in the suburbs.
Oh, I've gotten that lot.
I think it's ridiculous. I mean, and I'm trying to explain it to my wife because she's like, people tend to, where we came from, people tend to identify where they come from, not the city of Atlanta back in the day. They would go, I said, look, I've always told people I'm from Philadelphia, but I have Delco pride. That's where it is. I know where my roots are, but I always consider Delco Philly.
Yeah, like if I'm out of the country and somebody says, where are you from?
I'm from Philly.
I say the Philly area, right across the bridge. I say live in Jersey, but right. I've worked in Philadelphia for 35 years.
Yes, like you're a Philly person.
I would say yeah. I have no problem saying like Philly area.
You see some of that snobbery for, oh, well, you don't live in the Philly. You live in the suburbs. Because you've been a city res.
I've said it with a certain school.
You've said it, yeah, you have.
I've said it with a certain school.
Yes, exactly.
A couple national championships, maybe. So I've been guilty of throwing those rocks.
There you go.
But, yeah, I've absolutely seen it.
Almost went in and rolled in and saw the Owls last night after class, but it was a monsoon.
I got out of the rink last night, and it was...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was... Actually, I was in your neck of the woods yesterday.
You were?
Really bad accident near the Wawa.
The car. One on... Near my house?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was... the car was on fire.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I pulled in to get some food.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
Nothing I could do. But, yeah, it looked like everybody was okay, but it was like that. The conditions were bad.
Hey, Bradford White Water Heaters are here for the pro. We appreciate our friends from Bradford White. Join us tomorrow. Fairless Hills Rally House. We'll be there tomorrow, and your obscure jersey can win you a gift card. Plus, our friends from Window Nation are coming out again for the football throw through the window, where you can win Jalen Hurts' autographed helmet, too, tomorrow.
Are we having YouTube there tomorrow, Coach, at Rally House, or no? It's not really capable.
I think Chevy's gone.
No, I've been told we are.
Yeah. Oh,
Chevy's
we are.
Been
okay.
There before. Well,
he was sick last time.
Oh, that's right. I can't wait to see these obscure jerseys that we get come in.
And it doesn't have to be.
I think it doesn't have to be just Eagles.
Bob said that yesterday. He said, you know, if it could be a Pelle Eklund jersey, whatever it is, your obscure jersey can win you. Grab a gift card, and then you can put it towards the purchase of a more recent jersey, if you will. So the Sixers face the Nets, open the 4-game homestand, and take care of business last night. And that game, it was like a brawl because I'm listening to Tom McGinnis on the broadcast driving home from class, and it was. That game took forever. That first quarter took forever. I couldn't believe when I came home. I missed so little. I thought, oh, I'm going to see the second half. It was into the second. It was the beginning of the second quarter.
Yeah.
When I got home.
Yeah, it was a 40-minute first quarter because of technicals and fouls and just a little bit of everything going on there.
Joel, a little out of control last night.
That's all right. I didn't mind. I didn't. You know, there was something going on. He got the ball three times in the first quarter and, you know, took Simmons down low, bumping and stuff like that. So I didn't mind it. You can't let it overrule your day. And Doc Rivers alluded to it. He thought that it did a little bit. He thought that the emotions came into play a little too much. And I kind of see that a little bit, too.
You don't mind it in a regular season game because my only concern is a postseason series.
Yeah, I don't think it'll care. Like, postseason's different. Last night, I don't mind the emotion coming out last night. I really
message?
Don't. Kind of like, I haven't forgotten what you did to this team, to this organization. Simmons was his docile self in the first half. Somebody must have gotten his ear at halftime because in the third quarter he came and played well and showed that, you know, they showed that the Nets can be a pretty good team if he does some of this stuff. And then they have to pull him in the fourth quarter because, you know, he can't score and they want to shoot and he can't get fouled and all that stuff. So I didn't mind. Embiid last night, though, did one thing. And he's lucky he didn't get thrown out. He had already had a technical foul.
Yes.
And then he made a basket and he does the Generation X things to the fans with his groin and stuff. If the referee turns around, and I know the ref knew he was doing it and purposely turned his back to it. But I think that's taunting when he do something like that.
I think it is, too. And here's what I was worried about. Him missing the Denver game.
Yeah, well,
I thought he was going to get, could he potentially get
if he got ejected, I don't think you're out for another game.
Why? It isn't the number of technicals, so he wouldn't miss it?
No, you only get suspended for games if you get a certain amount of technicals.
Okay, I didn't know how many he's had this year.
But, I mean, it was a crucial point. He does that, and I looked at the referee, and I know he saw it out of the corner of his eye, and he turned his back and walked towards the scorer's table. He could have gotten ejected on that. And that's just something you have to be careful of. And I think, although Doc didn't specifically allude to that, I think that was in the back of his mind also. But, you know, strange game last night. A lot of scoring. 41-41 at the end of the first quarter. The Sixers perimeter defense, again, suspect, especially with that second unit. And you had a great point this morning when we were talking, how Tyrese Maxey just seems out of control trying
defending
to cover.
Defending threes, he's sort of all over the place.
Yeah, so, you know, Seth Curry goes off. What you have to do is, if Seth Curry's going off, you have to exploit him at the other end of the floor. Well, the Sixers put in defensive players to try to cover him in Thibodeau and P.J. Tucker, and they can't score on the other end. So you have like and Curry was getting great picks, and Brooklyn, rather, they're going to be a problem when Durant gets back. I said to you this morning, schematically, I kind of like the defense that they try to play. They just don't have the right athletes in there now.
Can I give you something to smile about this morning, Pat, with the looking ahead to this weekend?
Sure.
I want to make you smile. Eagles will continue to hold as a 2.5-point favorite. The now is a pick'em in Kansas City, as Patrick Mahomes was a full participant yesterday in practice. But the Eagles, you can now bet it on the Bet Parks app. Eagles 1-point favorites in the Super Bowl matchup against Cincinnati. The Eagles now a 1-point favorite over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl matchup. You can bet it on the Bet Parks app. You already have that opportunity there. The Eagles are favored over the field. They are the Vegas favorite to be the Super Bowl champs.
I'm down with that.
A little respect.
Uh-huh.
That's a little bit of respect.
Cincinnati going into Burrowhead Stadium, right?
I love that. The more this week goes on, though, the more I'm leaning Chiefs.
I tell you, that 3-0 record makes me lean Chiefs, too.
It does. It just is. I feel like they just want me to take the cheese, Pat. They just want me to take the cheese, and I don't want to take it.
Then don't.
I don't. Yeah.
Don't do it.
They're luring me in, Pat.
Do you still have the feeling in the back of your head that Andy Reid, and I'm not saying you specifically, that Andy Reid has trouble winning the big ones? See, that doesn't rule my day anymore.
It doesn't
rule my day. But thoughts there, yes.
Okay.
By the way, I found another. Yesterday I told you the Eagles would have 17 by halftime. I put that out there. Also, I found the bet that I absolutely love. Eagles first half minus 1.5.
Yeah.
That's on the Bet Parks app for
especially
me.
Especially the way they play in that second quarter.
Oh, my
quarter,
gosh. Yeah. The Eagles minus 1.5 at halftime to me seems like stealing candy from a baby. But who does that, Pat? Who steals candy from the baby? Skittles?
Okay, let me just say, the baby can't eat the candy, and it doesn't have the wherewithal to give you the consent to take the candy. So if the baby can't eat the candy's going to go to waste. Stealing candy from the baby, it's a horrible analogy.
Okay, so there it is. Since the baby
It's responsible because the baby can choke on the candy.
So, Pat, you're just doing what's right by the child.
Yes.
See? Pat's a humanitarian.
I've often said that.
We're celebrating Bob's birthday today, and you can get in with us, too, and sharing some of the excitement. 610-632-0975. I do ask one question about what I saw Sunday that makes me a little intrigued by San Francisco and their defense. John Kincaid Show on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey, you know what you need to do this weekend. You need to watch the conference championships and get into the game with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge. New customers, join today and bet the conference championships with $150 in free bets. Guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. So sign up with promo code Bob. You know all the different things that you can do with FanDuel. You've got the money line, point spreads, player props. There's so many great things you could do that you can make $150 in free bets this week. You can even combine your bets for a chance at an even bigger payout with the same game parlay. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code Bob. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Want to remind you, we will have a little happy hour action going on tonight. In honor of Bob's birthday, too. It's going to be awesome. Out of your local PJ Wellahan's in Maple Shade, New Jersey.
Yeah. Let's get it done.
Look forward for Bob's birthday tonight. Come on by. Imagine you're watching the birds on your big screen, though, while enjoying PJ's famous wings this weekend. How about this? For takeout only. You can enjoy 50 PJ's wings for just $50. But you got to order now at PJsPub.com so you can place your order for Sunday's game, PJ's Pub. 50, Pat, that's a dollar a wing. And you're picking that baby up and you're having a party.
I do not understand how in this economy they are staying afloat.
I don't understand what's going on.
I don't get it, but
from
I
appreciate
all
the money
it.
They made over the summer with their other wings.
Yeah,
I'm one in particular.
I'm not sure about that.
That's going to be on your gravestone.
What are you trying
to
kill me today?
It's his birthday.
He's getting up there, and he's getting to the point where I'm probably going to have him in my death pool. But it's going to say, "Here lies Bob Cooney."
It's terrible.
I got to stop doing it with Coatsy. So I'll switch it to Bobby. But here lies Bob Cooney, the creator of the bacon wrap wing. From PJ Wellahan.
That's not bad.
That would be, I think Bob would be proud to put that honor on there.
I've already told you guys that I told my wife that I want a keg, my keg, the one that I have at my house that I've had for years, next to my coffin. I want everybody to pour themselves a beer as they come up if they're going to, you know, pay respects. And maybe, just maybe, that's what I'll do. I'll have PJ Wellahan's have my wings there available. So everybody can grab a wing and a beer.
To cater a funeral.
Catering a funeral. Now, which of the, since you have PJs all over, like in your area,
yeah.
What's PJ's closest to the funeral home? Like, I mean, is that like, I mean, I want to make sure.
I don't know why I brought this up. I'm not taking this conversation.
You're the one who did this.
I know, I planned this out so we have at least.
Well, we want to have it planned out because, yeah. Come on, sales is selling this event.
We don't want to be, we'll do a live broadcast.
I mean, Jamie.
All of a sudden, I'm having shortness of breath.
Kevin Cooney can broadcast live from there because it'll probably be on the weekend.
Jamie Frankel is already selling this. I think they've already got something on the others. Now, we want a presenting sponsor, and we want, you know, other sponsors to be in.
If you walk into the funeral home with a visor,
oh yeah,
you're going to end up getting in the running for something. We don't know what that prize will be yet. It's to be determined, but keep listening.
You brought it up, though. So, I mean, it's not us. We're usually the jackasses. Let's be honest.
Okay.
And
Give yourself
a couple minutes. You'll dive right back
in. Yeah, we'll be right back into our normal roles here on the show, which I appreciate it.
Love you, Bobby.
Does the San Francisco defensive performance against Dallas cause you any reason to say, you know, maybe I'm underestimating them a little bit considering the Eagles' defensive performances against Dallas this year, which were not nearly as effective?
I don't really look at particular games because, you know, we do that. I was cautious about the Giants coming in because they had played well the week before. We were worried about a little bit about the Eagles because they hadn't played well the weeks before. I think in the playoffs, I think San Francisco just has a really good defense. I think they have a very solid defense. I think they showed that. I think they're aggressive. I think they're fast. I think they're just a good defense. I'm not going to go off of one game against the Cowboys or go back to when they played the Raiders and gave up 34 and winning in overtime.
Because you're looking at each game as its own entity.
Yeah, I just think overall, because that's what I think the playoffs do most of the times. What a team is shines through. And I think San Francisco is a good defensive football team.
Okay, and you want to get in with us, you can, 610-632-0975. Pat, it does concern me a little bit because I think Dallas had a effective plan of pressuring where they didn't sell out to be able to, they didn't overcommit. Let's put it that way. And I'm worried about the Eagles maybe being a little over aggressive with Purdy, because the one thing is that he can run around. And if you put it, but if you flush him to his left, he can't complete passes, not effectively.
I think they had a good game plan for Purdy. They ended up losing that game. Did they end up losing the game because of the defense, or did they end up losing the game because the offense couldn't score more than 20 points? I mean, that's what it comes down to. It comes down to the Cowboys' offense just could not put points on the board. So I'm not overly concerned with the Eagles' defensive approach against Purdy, because I think this offense will be able to score more than 20 points against the Niners. I don't think they're going to put up 38 like they did last week, but I think they'll be able to put up more than 20. And I think this 49ers team is really, really good. I think the defense is really, really good. But I think this offense is better, and the Eagles are getting better quarterback play than the Cowboys.
I think I'm leaning, Pat, going close to the 30.
You think they get 30?
Yeah.
Say it.
I'm leaning. My 27, all week long, 27 has stuck in my head. The Eagles scoring 27. And I think if that's the case, there ain't any way they're giving up 28. There's no way that I believe the 49ers are coming in and scoring 28.
No, that's a great way of looking at it. Now, you can even lower that number, I think. I think if the Eagles get 24.
You think 24 is the number?
Yeah, I don't think San Fran comes in here.
No, I'm just saying it's the number in my head about what I think they're going to get.
Sure, sure.
Is that one.
Yeah, I don't think San Fran could beat if the Eagles posted a 24. I don't think they can get more than that. I think one of the keys is getting a turnover from Purdy. Whether it be a forced fumble, whether it be an interception, whatever it may be, I think that's vitally important. One of the things that he does in watching some stuff yesterday is when he does escape a lot of times or try to escape a rush, he completely turns his back on the offense. And I brought it up yesterday.
Which is crazy to me.
But it was more prominent than I even knew before. He does it a lot, and he's fast, and he can get away with it. But this Eagles defensive line is fast also, and they're very athletic. Turning your back on a play, I mean, I was taught that at an early age when I used to run offenses. Don't ever turn your back on your players.
No, you never do that.
So when he does that,
it looks like a rookie.
Yeah, when he looks like a rookie, huge advantage. He runs backwards an awful lot when he gets rushed.
Pat, well, one thing I did notice when I was checking out the Bet Parks app is the idea of the first touchdown scorer. It truly is one of the, like, most affordable bets that can pay off. In fact, you can place many and still, if it hits, get more, end up positively ahead just that. Putting down a buck or two.
I've done that. I've put a buck on like three or four guys, and you just got to do the math. You got to figure out which one, you know, when it cashes, which one, okay, I can't go over this number, but I'm still ahead. But, the Jalen Hurts one, the value isn't like it was at the beginning of the season.
No, it's not as good. Yes.
At this point, he's anytime touchdown scoring, he's like minus 115. But yeah, I mean, I think the Eagles putting a few shekels on the Birds and a couple of the players to score the first touchdown, I think it's a smart move.
Have a lot of that, you know, ideas about the bets. We'll do a lot of that tomorrow morning. And we always do it on the pregame show, but let's do a little bit of that tomorrow morning. I want to remind you that you can experience the ride at the Philly Auto Show. It returns January 28th to February 5th, filled with the latest models, classics, and exotics. Visit PhillyAutoShow.com for details. Let's see. Tom in Alabama is fired up. Tom, are you fired up or what?
Yes, sir. Yo, John. Yo, Pat. Happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday, Pat.
It's Pat's birthday, man.
It's Bob's birthday.
Why should I tell him?
What is that?
Thank you, Tom.
No kid named Purdy is coming in here and stopping us from going to the Super Bowl. Because I think I have this attitude, John, like I've never had in the 50 years I've been watching the Philadelphia Eagles. It's Sunday is just business. It's just an obstacle to our stepping stone, to our final achievement. The offense, though, I feel needs to develop a running game early. And the defense, you were saying, Bob, about an early pick six, maybe. Anything, but they just need to do what they've been doing all year, and that's blowing quarterbacks up. We are going to the Super Bowl, John Kincaid.
I love that. That sounds
Tom
good, Tom.
Is pumped on Thursday. I love
that
it.
That is good. Be pumped.
Appreciate it, Tommy.
I love that.
It's terrible. Thank you.
I love to hear that kind of optimism and that kind of energy. I don't know, though, it's to me too arrogant to say that the San Francisco 49ers are just an obstacle. That's a little too arrogant. The San Francisco 49ers are an amazing club. They're really good because of the fact that I think that they cause you so many problems in so many ways.
Are the Eagles that good that you can say it?
I want to believe that. I believe the Eagles are winning the game, and I believe the Eagles are going to be able to pass Sunday very effectively.
Yeah, I don't look at it as saying when you say they're just an obstacle that you're saying
that
they're
sounds
not
like
good.
That sounds like they're a speed bump to me. Maybe
they are. You know, maybe they are. Maybe they come in here and they get the hands that Pat's been talking about. Maybe they come in here and their offense, led by a rookie quarterback, just can't get it going. And McCaffrey's not 100%.
I could see that.
And the Eagles' defense really gets on them and doesn't allow them to do much of anything. And we've seen the Eagles shut down elite receivers before.
We
haven't brought up an awful lot of Brandon Ayuk, who's had a great season also, to add to that list of Kittle, of McCaffrey, of Samuel. You know, they have a lot of really good, talented guys. But maybe, just maybe, this Eagles team rolls them.
I wanted Ayuk. I was very interested in him in the draft the year that I think they drafted Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he went after Jalen Reagor.
And I liked Ayuk very, very much. But, hey, look, it's all worked out. Look at what Reagor did. I mean, memorable.
He's been that's one that got away.
They hate him in Minnesota. So
did you guys hear the
play-by-play call?
Play-by-play guy.
He was awesome. Paul Allen is maybe the best play-by-play guy in the NFL. He's so confident in his job that he just calls it out. And when he said to Jalen Reagor, and Minnesota Vikings football brought to you by the reliable thing, unlike Jalen Reagor, who's totally unreliable. I mean, slipping a sponsor into a rip of a player, Pat, is pretty good. Like, that's pretty good.
That's above and beyond.
That's
next level.
Flawless job. I'm still wondering what we got for him, because the parameters of that trade never came out.
Yes.
It was a future draft pick or whatever they word it.
It's delicious.
We never found out. I mean, at this point, anything. I'll take a seventh round pick for him because he's not very good at football.
No, that's good analysis on your part, Pat. In Cooney's Corner, Bob says this rarely happens, and he was a little surprised yesterday.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
And it was me. It had to do
you
with me.
You were surprised at yourself.
I was surprised at myself. I got angry yesterday. I got
angry,
frustrated.
Really?
I scratched the surface of angerness, let's say that. But I was frustrated. I don't want to say I was embarrassed, because I don't get embarrassed for other people all that much. Like, their own doings embarrasses them. And, you know, I've embarrassed myself plenty of times. I don't have to worry about anybody else. But I was embarrassed for the sports writers around the country that did this voting yesterday, that nominated these people to get on. Now, look, every guy on there, and I went all through the list, every guy on Comeback Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, worthy? Sure.
Yeah, worthy, absolutely.
Absolutely worthy. But how the hell, you don't have Nick Sirianni on there. How the hell Brandon Graham isn't on there for Comeback Player of the Year? How the hell, and this was the exclamation point, you know, tripled, is Hassan Reddick not there for Defensive Player of the Year? It's so stupid.
Is that the worst one to you? Because that's the worst to me.
It put it over the top for me. It really did. And when I saw his tweet saying, like, I don't know what more to do, then I got happy. Then I got happy. I had my frustration, but then when I saw that Hassan Reddick was pissed off, I said, good. Because you know why? And Pat, I think you tweeted something out last night also. He's going to be so pissed off on Sunday afternoon when that game starts. Hassan Reddick's going to be playing at a level that Bosa's going to look at and say, wow, I wish I could get there.
How are we going to be able to tell, though?
It's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true. I don't know. But my God, that put it over the top for me, that I was like, what is going on here? Like, what's going to happen? Are they going to win the Super Bowl and they're going to bring up the team in second place and give them the runner-up trophy? so that you move the Eagles aside and say, here, like, I'm not of this bias against Philadelphia. I really don't. And I think we feed into it by the more we say that, oh, everybody talks about us, blah, blah. Well, that's the reason they keep talking, is because we keep bringing it up also. So it's like this never-ending cycle, which is fine. Because it's believable, the laziness of the national media and all that.
But, I mean, but, you don't believe it was agenda. If it's not agenda, then what was it?
I don't want to say stupidity, because I would never call somebody else stupid. I think we're in a society now that we overlook the obvious. And it's like something that's right there in front of you. Oh, okay, that might be good, but I need to look past it to find the bad. You know, and it's just like, I don't think it's any... There's no question in my mind that Nick Sirianni is one of the top three coaches for Coach of the Year. I think a lot of people sat down and said, yeah, he is, but that's too obvious, so let's go, boom. I don't know what it is, but I was frustrated, I scratched angry, and then I was relieved when I saw Hassan Reddick post that he's pissed off about it, too.
Because well, I love that.
I do, too. And Brandon Graham, Hassan Reddick, I don't know if we're going to see Nick Sirianni coach his balls off any more than we usually do, but I think they all go on the field with an attitude on Sunday, and I think it's going to help them a
Pat,
little bit.
The problem with me, Pat, is that I don't believe we're going to be able to tell the difference with Hassan Reddick, because he's such... I've called him this year, and people are like, why do you call him that? I think he's a public menace. I think he is a...
He's a problem.
He's a problem.
In the best way possible.
Yes, absolutely. It's a total compliment.
Yeah, there was a play in the Giants game early on. And it might have been the Giants' first series where Reddick got the stop on third down. And the camera showed him screaming. Jamie tweeted about it yesterday. He's got to be getting so pumped for this game, having grown up 2 miles away from the stadium or whatever it is. You know, this is like legendary stuff that you dream of as a kid, playing for your hometown team with a chance to go to the Super Bowl and you making an impact. And then on top of it, he's got this Defensive Player of the Year stuff. Yeah, I think he's going to wreak havoc.
I love
John it. John makes a good point. How are we going to tell, Pat?
Yeah, I'm able to tell.
I don't know.
He's been ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't really know how you'll be able to tell, because you're right. Every game, he's been that guy. But
he is that guy, is what you're saying.
But he's facing a really good offensive line this week.
Right.
I still think he gets his.
I love it. Hey, let's see what Jeremy and Berwin has to say. Jeremy, good morning. You're on the Fanatic, buddy.
Hey, good morning, guys. Very entertaining listening to you this morning. However, it's like playing my 15-year-old kid in chess. I'm all about the homebrew. I like that you guys are excited about the Eagles this weekend, but I think you guys are negating the fact that Kyle Shanahan's on the other side of the sideline, and they're going to make the moves they need to make to play the game he wants to play. The Cowboys game was ugly because they wanted it ugly.
Well, Jeremy, let me tell you, first of all, they didn't want him to have two completions to the left side of the field. They didn't want him to have, like, two completions greater than 18 yards in the game. That wasn't Kyle's plan. I watched Kyle Shanahan work up close and personal before he ever became the head coach of the 49ers. That's not the game. He did not want to have 9 points in the fourth quarter. That's nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
No, it was about keeping the ball away and waiting for Dak to make his mistake, because he knew Dak was going to make those mistakes. What I will say about the Eagles is your receivers are going to get their plays down the field. That's true. Our corners aren't the best in press coverage or deep coverage. But what you're not going to get is there's not going to be the Kenny Gainwell run, the Boston Scott run.
I believe that.
Sanders run.
I believe you're right, unless the offense blows it open with some plays down the field early. Then you guys got to soften up big time. And then Dallas got
stuff's not going to be there. Like, it looked like the Giants never played RPO in their life. That was insane last week. And so I wish you guys luck. You know, I like living in this area. I like the sports fans are all passionate. I'm going to be at the Sixers game on Saturday.
Where'd you come from?
I'm a California guy, but I'm a transplanted Sixer fan. But
I don't understand. I'm confused. Give me a little bit of this lineage. Where were you born? Where'd it come from? How'd you end up a Sixers fan and a 49ers fan?
Well, I'm from California.
Okay.
In the Navy. I came out here to work out here. And I became a Sixers fan because my kid was trying to buy Pokemon cards at the grocery store. And I said, how about these basketball cards? And then he liked them. So I took him to the Sixers game. He got hooked. So I became a Sixers
fan. That's awesome.
Older. And anything to keep Pokemon out of the house.
That's awesome. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Take care, Jeremy, and have a good one. Have fun this weekend.
Have a good time.
There you go, buddy.
Damn, Pokemon getting shrapnel.
Well, I mean, I'd rather have my kid pick up basketball cards than Pokemon cards.
Throw them both.
I mean, I would.
I mean, get you a man who can do both, John.
Well, that's fine.
You know?
One of my kids was
man, very much.
And I felt bad that I just couldn't.
Yeah.
You couldn't catch them all.
When I was watching the, when I was watching in the, was it the beginning of COVID? When I was watching the grown men and women, like in our area at least, like 30-year-olds and everything chasing around parking lots and everything. With the apps.
Hey, you can make fun of it. It was the simpler time.
Yeah, it was a simpler time.
The last time our country was united as a front.
If I want a simpler time, Pat, I'll go to Corpalese Bakery.
Great call.
There you go. Frank in Philadelphia joins us. Frank, good morning. How are you?
Good morning there, fellas.
Hey, buddy.
That guy that just called, he's a homer. But anyway, Kyle Shanahan's a choke artist. Every big game in the playoffs, he plays not to lose. And that's not how you win playoff games. He should have lost last week. Dallas stinks. That's why they won. His coach last week was horrendous. Horrible. His quarterback is horrible. Rock, Purdy stinks. Let's go, Bird!
Love it, Frank.
Yeah, Frank.
I can tell you he didn't want 9 points with 9 minutes to go in the game.
I can tell you Frank is definitely not a homer.
That was going to say, yeah.
That guy was a homer.
Frank, that was awesome.
I love the Kyle Shanahan. Look, Kyle Shanahan blew the Super Bowl more than anyone. Was responsible for blowing that Super Bowl lead more than anyone. All he had to do, Matt Ryan came back to the sidelines, and you can see him saying, run the effing ball. Run the effing ball. And Shanahan kept calling pass plays, and they kept running their offense. He said, pedal to the metal, that's how we've been all year. Instead of just letting the play clock run down with a 28-9 lead, he blew it, and he owns that forever. He owns it. He gave them an extra minute 51 of clock that allowed Tom Brady to tie the Super Bowl and then allowed him to come back and help him win it. Just absolute malpractice. I believe Kyle will choke it up again. I do. Plus, I did have something on Kyle Shanahan too yesterday. I told Tyrone from Best Show Ever. Kyle, I know, is save seats at the pool guy. Come down to the pool, lay down like towels on like six loungers when nobody's there and reserve spots at the pool. If that doesn't tell you he's one of the worst human beings on earth, that's all you need.
Those people do suck.
He is a classic. Either him or his wife at the pool, lay down the towels, and then only one of them be there, and then leave to make people be like, well, those seats are taken. If that isn't the worst statement against Kyle Shanahan, you can blow a Super Bowl. But if you're safe seats at the pool guy, terrible.
And I think when Hassan Reddick gets word of this,
he
will make him pay for all those people that showed up at the pool that day
and wanted
and
that
didn't
towels.
Have a seat or a towel.
There it is. He should come with a towel on the sidelines.
Justice for those people.
That should be the sack dance on Sunday. Someone should take a towel and like lay it on a chair. Yes. Yes. Coming up, why isn't Nick Sirianni getting his due? And why is he not loved? We'll talk about it next. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. Hey, it's pro football playoff time. It's the best time of the year. I am loaded up on so many things on the Bet Parks app for this weekend for the NFC Championship game. I can't even keep them straight. I already have this. I've got the first half over 23.5 points because I think the Eagles are getting 17 themselves. I have the first half line, Eagles -1.5. I bet the Eagles at -2 and at -2.5 in the game. So these are the kind of things that I've already gotten into. And the individual player performances are all out there and posted for you on the Bet Parks app. You can even bet during the game as the line shifts consistency with the live in-game betting. Here's what I want you to do. If you're a new customer, you can get up to $750 in sportsbook bonus back if your first bet isn't a winner. So download the app and start playing instantly. Use the Bet Parks Sportsbook and Casino app. It's the one I recommend. You must be 21 and in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. See betparks.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7 a.m. hour, the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by the all-new BetParks app. Sportsbook and casino in one sleek, easy-to-use app in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Get it. It's the BetParks app. It's absolutely awesome. You'll love it. And you can get it on so many wagers. I've placed, I think I'm going to just stop. Now, I'm not going wild, but I think I placed a bunch of, too many, on the Eagles and the 49ers for Sunday. There's little individual bets because you can just do $5 here, $2 here.
I mean, it adds up.
I can't. I'm not even going to be able to keep them straight, all of them, but all of them ending up in an Eagles victory, as I see it.
Of course.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Bob's going to have his bold prediction today for us.
Well, everybody knows you bet with your heart, not your.
Yeah, I don't do that. I bet responsibly.
That is betting responsibly. Bet with your heart. Follow your heart.
Follow your heart is what you're saying.
Listen to your heart. It is calling for you.
It is. There's nothing else you can do. I don't know where you're going, and I don't know why.
I don't know why.
See, there you go, Pat. That's coming.
We're back.
We are back.
Good spirits.
Flyers in the Wild tonight, 8 o'clock in the Fanatic. That's going to be wild.
That's a good team.
Yeah.
That's a really good team.
Flyers in the Wild. You want to be ready for that one tonight. 8 o'clock in the Fanatic. And it's one of those Fugazi streaming games.
I think it's on Hulu.
So,
I mean, every league's doing this.
Listen to the Fanatic tonight.
After you come out to PJ's in Maple Shade and have fun with us for happy hour from 5 to 7.
It's Bob's birthday
party. We might even stay more. It's my birthday party. Come on out.
It's my birthday party as well. It's Bob's and
Pat's.
When is
Bob's,
your birthday?
Pat's and everything.
What month is your birthday?
March.
March?
Yeah. Pat's in March. We celebrated Pat's before.
Oh, Anthony and I, that's what it was. So Anthony's son, Moss, and his son, Anthony, are very good athletes, and they're going through the whole thing. And oftentimes, he'll tell me stuff about Moss that reminds me of my son, Kyle. So he's always like, every time I think of Moss doing this, I think of Kyle. We just found out yesterday that Moss and Kyle have the same birthday. Isn't that
funny?
That's
bizarre.
Yeah, March 1st.
That is really bizarre.
How about that?
It works out well. See, March 1st.
I love it, Matt Hasselbeck.
March 1st, that's a good birthday.
Is that a good, solid birthday?
March, it is. March 1st is because it's not, there's nothing else it's conflicting with.
What do you mean? You're not running it.
Well, my birthday's December 23rd. It sucks.
Why?
Because it's too close to Christmas and everybody's busy and everybody's got.
Do you want the world to stop for your birthday?
No, but you want to be able to have your birthday be sometime. Like, I always wanted, 1 year, my friends threw a birthday party down the shore. And I had a birthday event at the shore. So that was fun.
We sang for you for your birthday this year.
See, that's great.
I appreciate that. All of us. Like, me and who else was here?
Chevy. Was it Heather Chevy?
Well, Chevy and Connor did a duet. Oh, Ray was here. That's right.
March 1st, though, is a great birthday because it's not near anything.
Well, it would have sucked if it was a leap year and he was born on March 29th, wouldn't it?
Wasn't it February
29th?
Wasn't Lindros born on the...
Simone Gagné was February 29th.
Was it February 29th? Yeah, I thought Lindros was near there, too. But
I will look that up for you.
Yeah, if only there was a way we could look that up.
I'll rock a Bing search right now.
Nick Sirianni, I got another theory on why he isn't getting his job, why he isn't getting, like, his love. Nick Sirianni, I saw the NFL Live crew talking earlier in the week about the fact is, like, you know, the whole mugging for the cameras and doing his facial and everything, telling off the official and telling him to F off. They were saying that he was describing himself, and I believe it was, I'm drawing a blank. It wasn't Swaggoo. It may have been Swaggoo. A little obnoxious. And we've talked about it before. He doesn't conduct himself like a regular average NFL coach. Then the New York media talking on one of the sports radio stations up there about that now Sirianni to them has the most punchable face in sports. Doing a whole show of like, oh, he's got the most punchable face, Nick Sirianni. Other than Buddy Ryan, have we ever had such a polarizing manager or coach to other fan bases? Because Buddy Ryan was hated.
Polarizing.
Because Nick Sirianni's polarizing. If he's not your guy, if he was the Giants coach and we were getting our asses kicked and the Giants coach was mugging for the cameras and everything, we'd be hating on him and calling him every name in the book. I wonder if there's something to that. Like, have we ever had Buddy Ryan's the only guy I can think of. I mean, I'm trying to think of a coach that we had that was just hated like that.
It's hard to get past the hate that people here in Philly have for Philly coaches to go outside. Like, Eddie Jordan was hated here.
Yes, he was.
There's been a few that have come through. But punch-to-face guy. Now, it has to be a punch-to-face. You have to get to the degree of you're good.
Yes.
Because nobody cares about punching people in the faces that are going 3-13.
And I will tell you, Buddy Ryan was nothing more than good here. Nothing more than
no. And he never
won a playoff game.
He had head coaches that he was coaching under that wanted to punch him in the face.
Correct.
Kevin Gilbride.
Yes. Yeah, he punched Kevin Gilbride. That's right. I don't know. I don't think we've had that polarizing. Because you think of the good coaches here. Andy Reid was just respected. Nobody wanted, you know, he wasn't a punch
in the face kind of guy. No, Andy Reid's very
well liked. Larry Brown with the Sixers.
I think the last one was Chip Kelly.
Ah, that's it.
I didn't like Chip Kelly, though. So, I mean, it's almost like I look at Chip Kelly as, I hated that hire
but
so
there was,
much.
There was a lot of people, though, that even when he got let go, they would still defend Chip Kelly because his first two seasons, he won 10 games. And they didn't realize the turmoil that was being caused inside the NovaCare complex because of the way that he was handling his business. But there were a lot of people that were kind of miffed and wanted another year of Chip Kelly. But there were other people like you, John, that right off the bat, they didn't like him.
Didn't like him. I just watched his act in college and thought it wouldn't work. I didn't expect it to be able to work here. I will say this. I love Nick Sirianni's coaching and the way he has his team prepared, the way his players react to him and everything. But I don't dig all the... I don't like all the F you and... And climbing on the bench and doing victory stuff to the opposing fan base, and I don't dig that.
Yeah, it's kind
of that's a personal preference. He is a fantastic coach. He's done a great job.
Yeah, it's kind of a line that he walks. That okay, you're a player's coach. All right, he's close in age to the players more so than any other coach in the league or most coaches.
Most
in the
coaches.
League. Yeah, so you're them. You're one of them. All right, those guys go out there, perform a play. The whole defense, when they get a turnover, goes into the end zone and poses for a camera. Offensive guys score touchdowns, and you're pointing at one, two defenders. That's just the way they are anymore. So you're a player's coach. I'm not saying he's copying them. He's not that far out of playing. That was probably what he was as a wide receiver, a diva wide receiver, at the most successful Division III school in the country. You know, the part of coaching them and being one of them, it's a line that you and probably me would like to see separated, but I understand that he has trouble doing it maybe during a game.
Like it's something, a coach that I know we both admire. I love the guy, and he was very good to me, is John Chaney. But John Chaney, I couldn't get past Coach Chaney the amount of times, and I would hear it at his practice when he was first starting out, preaching discipline, calmness, and he acted like a child on the sidelines. He acted like a spoiled kid on the sidelines. Terrible behavior.
Well, think about it like this.
And to me, I don't like the idea of, well, I'm allowed to do it, so I'm doing it, so you don't do it.
Think about it like this. When you have a situation where you get hit with a dirty hit, there's no call on it, and you look up, refs have missed it, you're pissed off, right?
Yes.
As a player, you're annoyed, you're angry.
Sure.
And then you look over to your sideline, and not only is your coach infuriated, but he's yelling at the other coach about how bush league that move is. I don't think he does it for any other reason than to curry favor with his players and show that he has their back.
Or do you think it's just him, Pat?
I mean, it very well might be just his personality, and that's fine. I mean,
we're going to have more on this on Speak for Yourself.
Good. There it comes.
He was asked about it yesterday.
Good. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect setup.
And he compared himself to one of the players on the team.
Hey, reserve your seat on the charter plane to Arizona with PhillySportsTrips.com. You get a fully refundable deposit of $4.99. You put it down for each seat that you want. Then you know you will have a trip to the game and you will have a place to put your head on a pillow. And as Pat says, that's the biggest hurdle here. You can get to Arizona and figure out the tickets and maneuver that. I assure you, been to a ton of these. If you get to Arizona and you have a hotel room and you've got your airfare covered, you'll figure out the tickets. If you're willing to pay, you're going to be in the game.
Just call Brian Westbrook. That's all you have to do.
I got a text yesterday from my buddy Dave, who Johnny actually met.
What's up, Davey?
Yes.
And he was wondering about Philly Sports Trips. And and if it was reputable and all that, because he said the hardest part about going to the situation, he's like, I'll worry about tickets later. I need a place to sleep.
Well, then you got
it. I told him Philly Sports Trips is the way to go.
Yeah, they'll take good care of you. PhillySportsTrips.com. Put down your deposit. Cousin Ryan, the fireman's on the line. Ryan, what's going on, brother?
Hey, I just want to check in. You know, you were talking about people talking about the most punchable or, you know.
Yeah, that's what they were doing in New York sports radio on Monday, how punchable his face was.
Yeah, well, they got to look in the mirror because they'd be number one, two, three, and four on the list before Nick Sirianni.
Who would be?
Whoever's saying this.
No, I mean, it's like, come on. It's Nick Sirianni is, you could understand, if he was coaching against us, we would hate him.
Look, I'll tell you who I want to give one right to the suck hole. It's Joe Buck. The whole Philadelphia nation hates that guy.
I like him. Guess what? So does the whole New York nation, Arizona nation, Dallas nation. Yeah.
And don't do that, Ryan. That would be very bad if you did.
I'm a big Joe Buck guy.
There you go. I am not either. I'm not either. Maybe it's a Kincaid thing.
Yeah, I know you don't like him.
Maybe no, I don't dislike him. I'm not as big a fan of his style. Yes, exactly.
That's fine.
Come on, Egan. It's Joe Buck.
Love you.
Sorry, Ryan. Thank you for your contribution to the show.
Thank you for listening.
I like you too, Ryan.
Love you, Ryan. These two love him. They absolutely love him.
I do. I like him, but there are guys out there that are well respected in the industry that I just, for whatever reason, Kenny Albert's one where I think Kenny Albert's really good at his job, but I just don't like him.
Like Kenny, I've enjoyed really watching Kevin Burkhardt do his job because
I think he's really good.
Kevin Burkhardt just calls the game.
Well, I like that
no
team.
Analysis.
I like that team
Kevin
a lot.
Burkhardt.
The Kevin Burkhardt, Greg.
I think he does a great Greg Olson.
I think they're really, really good.
Here's the problem is, though, then when Tom Brady retires, they're not paying Tom Brady what they're paying him to go and be on the B team. So is Greg Olson going to get bumped out of that booth, or are they going to go with the three-man booth?
Now, Greg Olson is, I like his stuff. I'm not over the
You're
top
not
with
won
him
over yet.
Okay. No, not yet. I mean, I have to listen to him more.
I've only
had a handful of games, and you guys know that I don't listen that closely. But
it doesn't mean as much to you as it does to Egan.
Yeah,
I think Greg Olson's timing is really, really spot on. I think he knows when to jump in, and his analysis is really good because of the position he played. He knows the blocking techniques, but he also knows the routes and whatnot. And I don't think he explains things where you're confused. I just think he's really, really good.
Plus, it must be a Kincaid thing with Joe Buck, though, because Big Dan just checks in. Chief Dan checks in, and he said he would also give Joe Buck a pop.
It's a lot of people. It's not just you guys.
It must be all over the country.
Yeah, I feel like me and Bob are actually the minority with the Joe Buck stuff.
Yeah, I think so, too.
A lot of people don't like him.
Yeah, I mean, did you see the other day, like, someone was saying that they were glad. He put a story up on social media, and people were giving him, like, you know, just coming at him a little bit. He had a, he went after this guy so just, like.
I did see that.
I hope you're, as you sit in your living room alone watching a game, and I'm
like.
Yeah,
and the guy had like 100 followers or something like that.
Joe
it was very
Buck,
odd that he picked
stop.
Out. Yeah.
Like, Joe Buck, stop. Make fun of the troll, but stop. Pat's point of view. Pat wants us to say, let's go back 2 years in the time machine.
This is Pat's point of view. Here's Pat.
Hey guys.
Hi, babe.
We talked about
what are you doing, buddy?
A little bit about this the other day, about 2 years ago, where this team was. Dumpster, Baxter. They were in the Baxter.
They were,
and it was looking bleak. Our talking points were who was going to be the head coach because they just fired Doug Peterson, and what were they going to do about Carson Wentz? Where was he going to get traded to? And that whole mess. And two years later. Jeez, it's nothing to sneeze at.
What is that?
This topic's nothing to sneeze at, Coach. But 2 years later, we're contending for a Super Bowl. And it's a real facelift that I don't think many of us expected 2 years ago. So look ahead. Where are we going to be January 2024? Are we going to have a Lombardi trophy?
2024, so 2 years
down. No, I'm sorry. 2023. 2025.
Okay, 2025. So 2 years.
Yeah, because it's a new year. So 2025, are we going to have a Lombardi trophy? Are we going to have two? Is Jalen Hurts going to still be playing an MVP level? Are they going to be in cap hell? Are they going to have hit? Like, where do you think this organization will be in 2 years? And where do you think Philadelphia sports as a whole will be in 2 years from now? Because 2 years ago, Philadelphia sports wasn't looking great. And now.
And then I arrived and things have changed.
That's what it was. It was the arrival of
the
Jonathan
I think it's what it Hayes. Is. I think that the Philadelphia sports is definitely on the rise. We will have had one Eagles parade minimum. I believe that the what we're going to enter into is a period of time where, like in the Andy Reid era, where we had a 4 or 5 year window where it consistently, the Eagles were in the mix to win a Super Bowl or be in one.
Yeah, I think the Eagles' window's wide open. I don't think, look, are you going to have a team next year that has 4 guys with 11 sacks or more? Probably not. Are you going to have a quarterback that has the kind of year he had this year? I think so, maybe, because I don't think there was anything that's not sustainable with Jalen Hurts that he did this year. You have 2 very young wide receivers. You look like you have replacements along an older offensive line already in place, pretty much. Yeah, I think the Eagles are going to be right there contending in 2 more years, Pat. Well, and Philadelphia as a whole, I think the Phillies will be there. The Sixers,
contending, yes.
Sixers window is half open. Can we say half open or half shut, John? I don't know what your rules are on that.
It would be half open.
Because, I don't know how long Harden, how that's going to last. But, yeah, I think it's pretty good in 2 years.
I tend to agree with you guys, but you also have to factor in who won't be here in 2 years.
Sure.
Like, Kelsey probably won't be here.
Kelsey won't be here in January 25.
Fletcher Cox probably won't be here. So the veteran leadership will be ushered out. You'll have a new leadership group. And Philly sports, will James Harden be here in 2 years?
No.
You don't think
No, I don't think. I think James Harden, well, 2 years? Because it's January.
I think he may be.
The rumor of Houston.
Yeah, but I think if he...
And if he leaves for Houston, then this team is in the gutter.
Well, if this team goes and wins
they'll contend, but they won't be a legitimate contender. Because they'll contend with Embiid, but if they don't have James Harden to go along with them.
I would say that you may be right on that one.
I mean, I think Andrew Painter's up at that point and thriving, hopefully. But you never know.
All right, so you're going 2 years down the road, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who is your most optimistic team looking at it right now?
Flyers. Because they can't get worse.
Not optimistic. My most optimistic is the Eagles.
I mean, I say...
Most optimistic is the Eagles?
I say they can't get... The way that John Tortorella is coaching this team and getting the most of the talent is kind of what I thought he would do when he arrived. But the team's only going to improve talent-wise. Like, Cutter Gauthier is coming... They'll get another somewhat high pick. So I think he'll be able to finally win. Once this team gets talent and they get a new GM who knows what the hell he's doing, I think they'll be all right.
So
I think they'll have the biggest turnaround. But that's mainly because the other 3 teams are doing well. Like, the other 3 teams, you have two teams that are... that one team went to the championship in the Phillies. The other team very well might go to the championship with the Eagles. We don't know yet. And the Sixers, they're the second team in the East. They're once again a contender. So by law of averages, I could just go with the Flyers because that's the only team that can really have a drastic change in a positive light.
Or they could be worse off than they are now where they're just sort of in that malaise of middle of the league.
It's kind of where they've been for a while.
Yeah.
Although last year was rough.
I get you. I don't know. I don't like the twist that took, Pat. I was feeling more optimistic in the beginning of it, and then you started...
Well, that's one team.
Yeah, exactly.
I look at Phillies and Eagles in 2 years with the windows wide open and the curtains blowing in the breeze. Like, that's how
Painter's a big
close
deal.
They'll be into a championship.
Painter needs to hit.
Painter must hit. Painter hits, this thing is...
As crazy as it sounds, he might be the linchpin to the Philly success to get a homegrown guy dominating an ace at that price range when you probably got to extend Nola this year.
You have to.
And you can't keep paying John Middleton wants to win, but there's a breaking point.
My man Aaron Nola.
What did he get in arbitration? 12?
He got 12. Roland got 12.
I'd have to look.
I mean, not Roland.
Scott.
Hoskins got 12, which is exactly what I thought he'd get.
I was surprised by that.
He got 12, exactly what?
Yeah, I was very surprised.
I didn't expect him to get...
No, and you told me in the report, the... What do you call it? The tracker?
Yes. It said 12.
It said 12. I just didn't... I didn't see...
He thought he was going to get more.
Because he had the same season that he did to see the previous year. And
I get you.
Arguably a worse season, and yet...
Yeah.
He got a drastic pay bump.
I would. I was a little surprised at that. But remember, too, his number's coming off the books because I don't believe he's being signed.
Hoskins?
No, not at all. I do not believe Hoskins. I do not believe Hoskins will be here next year. Hoskins is not here.
Then they better set up a contingency plan with Boehm or.
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be. They've got options. There are plenty of options.
They do.
They got a bunch of guys who can play first base.
Well, they have guys they can put at first base.
Yeah, and then you have to replenish the position that they came from.
Exactly. You traded Ohapi. So, initially, a year ago, I thought, Ohapi will we'll push Realmuto to first base and they could get Hoskins out of here, but they traded Ohapi, so there goes that.
Hey, Staples stores are a new world of possible. They've got innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore more at your local Staples store. Visit staplesconnect.com. And Tony wants to know, who keeps sneezing?
It's Coach.
That's Coach
here.
Eric Camille. Coach, what's with the sneeze?
He's allergic to bad radio.
What is it?
My goodness. Pat's doing it too. Just he can't hear because his mic's off.
Pat, you're sneezing too?
I sneezed one time, Coach, and it was 6 months ago.
Oh, it was 6 months ago. See, you're just out of this.
It's like 70 degrees outside.
What?
Seasons are changing.
It's like 40, isn't it?
It's not 70 degrees, dude.
Where are you
having a stroke?
What's going on? Are you smelling toast?
Are you high right now?
Unbelievable.
You are high as a kite.
All right, I want to go down memory lane with some of our listeners and with the guys in the show. You've been given a ticket to Sunday's game and an extra one to bring someone. But let me tell you who you are required to bring. John Kincaid Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys, at FanDuel Casino, we know the only thing better than a win is a free win. And that's why they made Reward Machine, the daily free to-play game that gives you a chance to win up to $2,000 in casino bonus. They've given away over $10 million in free bonuses, and they're just getting started. Every day at 6 p.m., you get three chances to spin the Reward Machine reels. And there are three ways to win. One, match any three symbols for an instant win. Two, collect symbols each day for a chance to win weekly prizes. Or three, win up to $2,000 if you collect three trophies. So what are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Casino app by going to FanDuel.com/Bob and start playing Reward Machine today. That's FanDuel.com/Bob. No purchase necessary, 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable casino-only site credit that expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/casino. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid's show on The Fanatic. Hopefully your Thursday morning is off to an amazing start. Your Friday morning can start out with us out at the Rally House in Fairless Hills tomorrow. Chance to grab some gear and get ready for the NFC Championship game coming up on Sunday. And I think one of the best things about that is you can go and you can grab the newest T-shirt, hat, anything you want to get ready for the big parties you're going to on Sunday afternoon, which is going to be a lot of fun. The scene in the parking lots, I've gotten asked by two people in the past 2 days now, well, how early do I need to get down there? After Saturday, what would be your advice, Bob? Like, to be there by like 11?
Now?
11? No, that's a little too close for a 3 o'clock game.
You think it's too close?
I'm not the overboard, like, oh, you got to get down there.
Yeah, but Bob, the lots don't open up till 11.
Yeah, they don't.
Some of them don't. Like, it's... So my
some
buddy's,
of them, yes.
Yeah, my buddy's lot that he tailgates in every time, which is right next to Lincoln Financial, is 3:30 to 8 there, 5 hours before the game,
five.
Or 4.5. Yeah, the lot that we usually go in, Pat, it's usually 4 hours, but that's changed. It's been open, wide open, more than 4 hours before the game. I don't know. I would say to look to get down there, check your lots, but I would get down there 5 hours before, probably, like, you know.
Get comfortable and get settled in. Now, yeah. We'll be doing pregame at the beautiful Xfinity Live at the Victory Beer Hall. And what is interesting is our room is just chock full of good Eagles fans. But that little bar area, that special private bar area, Pat, that's where Bill Romanowski's going to be.
Wait, they're having another one of these?
Bill Romanowski will be there with the San Francisco travel party.
Great.
In that same little enclave.
Will he be roided up?
Where the Giants fans are. We will absolutely.
You're going to go ask him?
We'll absolutely get Bill on the air.
I'm worried.
Bill will join us on the air.
Flipping the table because of his roid rage.
Now look, I'm telling you, we will have him on the air. Bill will come on with us. So be prepared. Don't say anything you don't want to say to him in person. Because he's going to be right there.
I don't care about talking to him.
He's funny as hell. What?
I don't care about talking to him. He's going to leave sad. He's going to leave a sad Bill.
He played for the Eagles, too.
Yes.
He doesn't do it for me.
Maybe he considers himself an Eagles guy.
But you got to understand, Bill Romanowski.
And by the way, Bill Romanowski loved playing here.
Guys, for me, I just missed the Bill Romanowski Eagles era.
Okay.
I just missed it. So I don't have this love of Bill Romanowski.
No, he's just a good dude. He's just, I think you'll enjoy him very much. And you'll get
to
meet.
Become friends?
I think he could. He would like, Egan, you're the kind of person that he would gravitate towards.
We'll find out.
Quirky, weird stuff. He loves that.
He can catch these hands as well.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I'll lose that battle 10 out of 10 times,
yes.
Though.
Talk about Roy.
He'll snap me like a pencil
stick. Talk about Roy it up.
10 more hands, I think.
By the way, Nifty 50s has game day party trays that are available for you. Chicken nugget, chicken finger trays are available in a variety of flavors daily. Order online at nifty50s.com or call your local restaurant. I bet you could get some milkshakes to go, too.
I went there yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
What did you get? The cookies and cream?
No, I got the s'mores milkshake.
The s'mores milkshake.
Yeah.
Not a big marshmallow fan myself. Not a big fan of that.
If it is s'mores, I'm probably buying it.
What's going on with Coach?
I don't know, man. He's
sneezing. He's running. Yesterday, he had, you know, some stomach issues. I think it's been a rough week for him. I don't think NFC championship games bode well on the coach's body.
Some people are not built for this.
No, I don't think he is.
He's not.
I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. Every single thing seems with this week with Coach seems hair on fire.
I understand.
Like running out of here. We'll find out. What's going on with Coach? Coach, I know the urgency of NFC championship week, but did you run out not to sneeze in the room?
Yes.
Is that why you did?
Because I thought Pat was just about to turn his mic on. So instead of having a sneeze go over the air again.
Because Tony would email me.
I ran out the door and I sneezed. Yeah.
Here's the weird thing is Tony says, who keeps sneezing? It's really rude. It's not rude to sneeze,
doing
Tony.
It on purpose.
I said, my rude. God, it's not rude to sneeze.
It's a natural reaction to it.
Right.
Happens to everybody.
You're going
to
get in a fight. You have an itchy nose, Coach, at all. Is that it?
I don't know what
itchy
it
nose?
Is.
If Tony doesn't want to hear sneezes, he should go up in space because you don't sneeze in space.
You know,
the change of seasons.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century, the Disney Channel original movie.
Yeah, that is.
You don't sneeze
in space.
Wait a
minute, that's Kirsten Storms.
Yeah, you don't
sneeze
in space. You're about to poo-poo that fact, and then all of a sudden
you find out it's Kirsten. Yes.
You're like, oh, okay, we'll buy this. I'll buy your game.
I'll buy that a little bit. All right, here's what I want you to play along, and if you're in the listening audience and you want to play too, you can. Bobby, Pat, Coach, you were just given a ticket to Sunday's NFC title game. All right? You're given the opportunity then to take someone else to the game with you. But it has to be somebody who helped to indoctrinate you into your Eagles obsession, and they've already passed on. You can spend 4 hours with them at a game and potentially watch the Eagles win the NFC championship. Bob, is there someone from the great beyond that you would have in mind to take a seat next to you at the NFC championship game?
I guess I'd go my father. I mean, we watched every Sunday Eagles game together when I was little. He didn't say an awful lot. He wasn't a very demonstrative person when it came to watching Eagles games.
So he was a just quiet listener?
Sat there with his legs folded with the paper on his lap and, yeah, but loved his sports. It would probably the most, and you won't get this reference, Pat. John, you might. The most animated I ever saw him get was there was a couple-year span where the Eagles had an offensive lineman named Ed George. And every time there was a flag thrown, it seemed like it was holding number 64 Eagles. So the most animated I ever saw my dad get over an Eagles game was, and my dad was a very religious person, but he said, J.C., that damn
oh,
Ed
no,
George.
Oh, no, did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, whoa.
He was getting an impact.
Yeah, so
he made an impact.
Probably my dad, yeah.
I'd want to smuggle and get Betty into the game. Because my mom never really watched sports with us. And then after my dad died, she was like, well, why don't you, if you wanted to go to an Eagles game, I said, Mom, would you ever go to an Eagles game? She said, yeah, sure I would. So I brought my mom down to an Eagles game and I told her all week long, you cannot leave. We don't leave early. We go to the game. We leave. She showed up for that tailgate and she had a flask on her.
Damn straight she did.
And smuggled the flask into the vet, we sat in the first row of 5'11", and it poured rain on us. And around the fourth quarter, the Eagles were killing the Cardinals. And I was like, you know, we can leave anytime you want. And she said, we had to put our feet up because the water was running down in the 500 level. It was like a pool of water in front of us. And I said, you know, Mom, we can leave anytime you want. The Eagles are crushing them. And she goes, oh, no, we don't leave early. So she sat there in the rain and loved every minute of it.
What did she call you? Johnny?
John.
Oh, John.
I was always John. Never got a Johnny.
Okay.
Out of her. Out of a bunch of other people. Pat, who are you bringing? From the great beyond. Anybody?
Great question. I would go with Burt Bell, the first owner of the team.
Really?
Because I don't have anybody. Everybody.
So you have nobody because I have no one.
Everybody that got me the Eagles is still alive, thankfully.
You're lucky because you're at a good age.
Absolutely.
Then.
So, I mean, my dad got me into the team by just sitting down and kind of watching sports around him.
So you'd invite Burt Bell?
He's still alive. So, yeah, let's chat it up with Burt. Burt was there in 1936. I'm sure you'd like to see the advancements of the team. We can have a good chat about the Jay Berwanger situation, the draft pick from the University of Chicago. I think you'd be interested to see what's going on. So I'll bring Burt.
You'd bring Burt. And you would use your Google machine to find out all you needed to know about the Berwanger. Or what was it, Berwanger?
Jay Berwanger.
There you go.
Yeah, the first ever draft pick.
Coach, anybody? I mean, now, you grew up in California.
Yeah, so.
Before coming here.
It would have to be my grandfather. It was back then it was, I guess it was the Jack Murphy Stadium.
Wow.
Back where the Chargers played. So. That's where I started loving football, and now that I've been here for quite some time, I'm full-blown Eagles fan and went to many, many games with my dad here when I was a little bit younger.
You're lucky nobody passed on, though. So nobody in your Eagles realm passed on.
Nope.
That is lucky. That is very, very fortunate.
Yep. Yeah, very fortunate.
Like, Egan, nobody in your
No,
circle.
My grandfather actually had Redskins season tickets.
What?
For years.
How come we've never heard this one before?
My grandfather's a weird dude, but he had Redskins season tickets. He was a fan. Like, it wasn't like he had them.
Oh, he was in on it. Okay.
He was in on it, and he put his name on the waiting list. And so he was a sports fan. My mom's side of the family, they were all Giants fans. They had Giants season tickets. And then I'm from Philadelphia. So I didn't really have anybody to bring me up of the legendary, you know, heyday of
That's
the birds.
That's sort of sad.
Fergie and no, I mean the closest I had was, I guess, my other than my dad was my best friend's dad.
Okay.
And he like loved Tommy McDonald, Mr. O'Connor.
He loved
Tommy McDonald and Chuck Bednarik. Like, I remember hearing about this game is effing over from him. So those are the two guys that, like, I look at and think of an older generation that kind of brought me into the fold a little bit. But other than that, kind of self-made in a way.
There you go. Good stuff there, guys. Hey, shop 15 dealers with in-stock boats ready to deliver at the Philly Boat Show January 27th through 29th at the Expo Center at Oaks. Details are available at phillyboatshow.com. Maybe a violation there on Bob Cooney. Bob, who is the most anti-Price is Right person that I've ever heard, was bebopping to the Price is Right
music.
I have
a different song in my head.
What melody was in your head?
AC/DC that we played earlier.
Really?
Yeah.
So that was
no,
why you
I'm not
were still
popping the Price is Right. Yeah, you know what? I like somebody in my family was switching through the channels. Yeah, now it's on at nighttime too.
Yeah, they do these special just once a week.
But
it's like a special thing. Well, they do Jeopardy at night. They do Price is Right at night.
Yeah, and like they whoever was switching town, a girl has a shirt on and she's jumping up and down. I love you, whatever the host's name is.
Drew Carey.
Yeah, whatever.
It does huge numbers though. People love it.
Does it? Well, good for them.
It's a feel good thing.
Yeah.
Now the thing is though, you can watch Jeopardy. And Jeopardy is, Mike, the lamest energy of a show maybe ever.
Yeah, but you learn.
You do, but it's lame energy.
I'm learning a lot from Price is Right.
I learned how much cars cost.
How much shampoo costs.
Yeah, and that's important.
Which is crap,
you can use that in life.
Everything is different all over the country, and everything's priced too high now anyway.
Well, then that is true.
Jeez, man.
Bob's just dragging the Price is Right. Are, Bob, for your birthday, you're being, I mean, come on. Well, I'll cancel Drew Carey's call-in in the 9 o'clock hour.
And we'll try.
In Cooney's Corner, Pat wanted to talk about this earlier. You want to talk about it now, and it's about disappointment. I don't like it.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Oh, but it's not about disappointment, John.
Oh,
it's
you're
really
tricking
not.
Me.
No, it's not about disappointment. But yeah, I'm going off of what has come up a little bit this week. Like, where does the season stand if something should happen this weekend? And, you know, horrible disappointment and because of what happened this year. Look, this year was unexpected. Going 14-3, nobody expected that. No chance, no how, no way. So therefore, it's a success. I understand what you say an awful lot, John, is... Well, because the season went like that, your expectations
rise.
Yes. Okay, that's fine. But I'll do this. And God forbid, and I don't think it's going to happen, but I'll put a good positive spin on this. What's the difference between this year and 2001? Like, in 2001, the Eagles were 11-5 the year before they made the playoffs under Andy Reid, his second season. They won a wild card game, but then they lost to the Giants in the playoffs. The next year, 2001 regular season, 2002 playoffs, they went to the Rams and lost to the greatest team on turf.
They did.
In a really close game, 29-24.
They had the ball in their hands for the chance to win it.
We thought they were going to get blown out. They played a really, really good game. I think that elevated the organization to another level. Now, they never got to the Super Bowl championship, which we've talked about endlessly. But as far as getting to conference championships, always being in the hunt to get that Super Bowl, always being one of the best teams, this team could very well be like that. Should they not complete a Super Bowl run, should you look at this season and say, well, where does it go? Was it a bad season? Was it a good season? I always look at good. I look at the goodness of it because, again, unexpected. You got to somewhere where you didn't expect. Will it be disappointing if they lose the game? My God, yeah. And it's going to take a while to get away from that sting. Just like it did against the Rams back then in 2002 playoffs. But I think you can compare the two.
But the only thing I can is because you lost to the greatest show on turf on their home field.
Sure.
You lost to the Super Bowl champs on their home field.
Yeah, I hear
you on
that. I
mean, it's different.
But I'm looking inward.
Nobody expected them to win this game. You're the favorite in this game. And by the way, you're the favorite to win the Super Bowl right now in Vegas.
Yeah.
Of the four remaining teams. So, I think it's disappointing if you lose.
That goes to the... Sure, it's disappointing. No question about it.
But I think it'll be a disappointing finish to the season.
But like I said, it will be. And it'll take a while to get over. But if you look at the whole of where this organization is... If you look at the wholeness of it, they're in a great spot still. And they're advanced beyond what you thought this year was going to be.
Yes.
Once you're able to get over that disappointment, God, I understand it. I am not downplaying how disappointed we're all going to be. What I'm saying is, if you can allow yourself to look to the future, and no, Tim and JD, you're both wrong. If you allow yourself to look to the future, it's still very, very, very bright.
It would be bright.
Yeah.
But it would be brighter if I saw this team meet... What is expectations? You're the best team remaining in the postseason. So don't underachieve and get sent home. Because I think it's underachieving. If you lose the NFC title game at home, I think you underachieved in the playoffs.
Yeah, but as a whole, I think your organization
you're on a bright path.
You would be
yes,
right
no
now.
No questions
yeah.
asked. Yeah, it absolutely is. But I would also say, though, you've underachieved in the postseason, which... is always a bad sign for a franchise.
No question. I'm always that guy that goes and looks ahead. You know, a season gets done for, say, a college team disappointingly. Okay? I'm not the guy that goes to the coach and says, oh, man, that was a tough loss. I'm the one that might say, man, you guys are set up for a really good year next year.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm not saying I'm right. It's just how I'm made up.
I'm not going to feel that way Monday morning. I will not feel that way Monday morning. If this team doesn't go to the Super Bowl, it's set up for them to go to the Super Bowl.
We won't feel that way until maybe May.
I'm not
lying here. We may not feel that way until May.
Right.
But put it in the back of your mind that this organization is probably head and shoulders above where they thought they were going to be right now.
Hey, Nifty 50 says game day party trays, chicken nugget and chicken finger trays are available in a variety of flavors daily. You can order online at nifty50s.com or call your local restaurant. Pat, it's going to take me a while. And I don't know that it's fair because I'm one of those people who says, look, you don't move the goalposts. But when you're the favorite to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC, I do think you have to change expectations.
Your expectations absolutely change in every single season, and the idea that your expectations don't change is tough.
And somebody makes a great point that I was thinking of also is when you have it right in front of you where injuries aren't a part of it because you never know when that's going to happen.
Right.
When you have everything right there in front of you, you damn well better grab it. Understand that totally. Absolutely.
By the way, Pat, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to bring up the fact that you can sit there and try to remind yourself of the expectations at the beginning of the year.
Right.
Those expectations, though, it doesn't make you feel better in the moment.
No.
Things change drastically. And in this situation, yes, did we all sit here
in August and September and say all we want is a playoff run? Yeah, we did. But when you start seeing the way they're beating teams,
sure,
we're going to be disappointed if they lose. We're going to be very disappointed.
No question.
Pissed off. And you're right, Bob. It probably will take some time to be able to sit back and see the forest of the trees and go, all right, they're still in a good spot. The window's not closed. They don't have this aging team.
Exactly.
We're good.
Exactly.
It'll take some time.
Yeah. We talked about it yesterday, though. After the show, I went into Pat, and we always talk about, like, the gamblers have, like, the gambling guys have an inside edge of information and everything like that. And right after I walked in, after Bob, we had finished the show, and I walked in, I look at my text, and a good source says to me, there's going to be bad news coming out of San Francisco camp today, injury-wise. And when your top three offensive weapons, other than George Kittle, all missed practice, did not practice, this person knew that yesterday morning, that they were all going to miss practice. It was bad news. There was bad news coming injury-wise. 49ers are pretty banged up. And Kyle may be just playing this really, really safe. But that's a banged up squad that's coming in here. Really, really not at full bore. So,
I feel bad for him.
Let's see. Frank in South Philly joins us. Frank, good morning. You're on the Fanatic.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, hey, Frankie. Frank.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about Jalen Hurts. I'm very impressed on how he's been playing with this lingering injury he's been having. I'm really impressed on, like, again, I know they played the Giants. They're a pretty bad team, but he still looked very good. I mean, the throws.
He did.
It doesn't seem like he's, you know, playing, like, scared a little bit. It's not like he's playing scared at all. He's out there just, he's got heart, man. That guy, the Eagles got him for years to come, man. I think they're, like you just were talking about, I think they're in a bright spot.
I mean, that's the big thing, Frank, that's changed.
Five, 6 years.
That's the big thing that's changed, Frank, from the beginning of the year to now. And we all said if we found out the answer on Jalen Hurts this year, and it was a positive, the season was going to be great. That was one of our summer talking points that we consistently were on. If we found out that Jalen Hurts was going to be the franchise quarterback for years to come, boy, that would be a successful year.
Yeah.
Little did we know they'd be the number one seed, and now in the Final Four with a favorite to go to the Super Bowl. Now I do think, though, that my expectations change. Whether it's fair or not.
It's absolutely fair.
Yeah, I'm going to be pissed if they're not.
Sure.
If they're not in the Super Bowl, I'm going to be pissed because I think it's a missed opportunity. And I think there was a lot of missed opportunities under Andy Reid. I think the 2002 and 2003 seasons were missed opportunities.
Yeah.
And so I just don't want to see more. I don't want to see another let's get that started. Where you just get a bunch of, you know, bunch of wasted chances.
No. If you want to draw anything from the Andy Reid era, it's the excellence that they showed to get where they got. Now you have to get over that mountain that Andy couldn't get when he was here. And once you do, like, looking, I'm a firm believer. Once you do get somewhere, it becomes a little bit easier to get there again because you just know what it takes.
They always tell you, though, how hard it is that you have to fight the disease of me and you got to fight the...
Sure.
You know, a bunch of guys wanting to get paid and everything like that. I mean, the Eagles slipped from a Super Bowl champion. That was different. I didn't consider that team that won the Super Bowl close to this one. Like, they won the Super Bowl. I don't consider them close as far as overall talent on the roster to this one.
No, nor the future looking as bright as it did. I mean, the quarterback... we mistakenly thought was the franchise guy moving forward in Carson Wentz, but no,
they were 9-7 the next 2 years.
Yeah, and that was his injuries. It was everything, and it was a lack of talent. Let's be honest.
That's why I do not want a wasted opportunity this year.
Yeah,
because you got to take advantage of it when you get it. It's Bob's birthday. We're hanging out today, and we've been invited to meetings to help make the game plan. Wonder what we're going to contribute. We'll find out next. John Kincaid Show on 97.5, The Fanatic. Steven Singer has released his brand new rose color for 2023, and he wants you to meet Perry. Periwinkle. I had no idea what periwinkle was, and I'm shade blind, so I really got to look at it closely. This is beautiful. It's like an indigo, a blend of violet and blue. It's absolutely gorgeous, and if you're like, you got set up for your wife like I have it for mine, I've had her with Steven Singer gold dip roses, 24 karat gold dip roses for years. So now this is going to be a perfect addition to her collection. It's pure 24 karat gold. They have a free lifetime guarantee, and the shipping is fast and it's free. So February 14th is Valentine's Day. I don't want you to put this off because after Sunday, you are going to be preoccupied getting ready for the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to make sure you've gotten everything done for Valentine's Day in advance. So do it now. Check out the diamond collection, beautiful diamond necklaces, diamond rings, beautiful diamond earrings, or these fabulous gold-dipped roses at Steven Singer Jewelers. Real jewelry, real roses, real 24-karat gold from a real jeweler. Go to IHateStevenSinger.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. I found it a good bonding moment, Bob, that you and I are both annoyed by the same thing about this song, which is just a little nuance, that there is no such thing as South Detroit, but...
I just heard it in the past.
Absolutely there is.
There's no South Detroit. Nobody in Detroit says South Detroit. Like, we have North Philadelphia... We have South Philadelphia.
Do you know from Detroit?
In fact, my buddy runs the number one sports station, maybe in the country out of
Detroit. Okay, my buddy runs the Detroit Red Wings.
Does he really?
Yep. And the Pistons.
Wait a minute.
That runs the Pistons.
Wait a minute.
He runs the Red Wings and the Tigers.
Wait a minute.
And they all reside in South Detroit.
No, they wouldn't.
Beat it.
I can promise you this. If they're running the franchises, there's no way. I can assure you that they don't live in South Detroit.
They don't allow the people that you know in the South. That's how exclusive South Detroit is. So you don't even know about it. You could live in Detroit your whole life.
And not even
not
realize
a tax
it?
Tax bracket that is, you know, up here, you don't even know that South Detroit exists. It's that exclusive.
Do you know that Bob's birthday is today? Come on, Bob.
I heard, yes.
It's your birthday.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you for all the birthday wishes, everybody.
And
that's awesome.
And Joe Z...
Oh, thank you.
Made sure that you had some birthday wings this morning, too.
Yeah,
how about that?
I am going out last night and getting us some wings and bringing them in today from PJ Wellahan's.
Wait, you can do that at PJ's? You can, like, order wings ahead and...
And then take them out?
So, hypothetically speaking, if there's, like, a big football game on Sunday...
How about this? $50, you can order them right now at PJsPub.com. 50 wings, $50, pre-order them.
When you said $50, I thought you were getting maybe 20 wings because that's the price of wings nowadays. But you're saying 50 for 50?
No, I didn't say 50 eggs. I mean, I hear the egg prices supposedly.
It's all eggs are insane.
Okay, and here's a weird thing, though.
The chicken shortage.
We go to a great breakfast place we always go to on the weekends, the beautiful Market Street Grill, and my egg prices haven't gone up.
No.
My omelet.
That's good customer service.
Yeah, your omelet hasn't, but the egg prices have. Crazy.
Then they're just not making more money, I guess. They're not gouging their customers.
They're taking care of you.
We have a Speak for Yourself with Bob Cooney. We're making him work on his birthday. Coming up in a few moments. You don't want to miss it. And Staples stores are a new world of possible. They've got innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. You can explore more at your local Staples store or visit staplesconnect.com.
Now, just to get the pad a little bit.
Yes.
All right, saying there has to be a South Detroit. Is there an East Philadelphia?
No, there's not.
Well,
no.
There's a Northeast Philadelphia.
Because it goes right
into
the water.
No, there's not an East Philadelphia.
There's an East Philadelphia.
No, there is not.
says two guys. One guy grew up in Jersey, another guy grew up in Delco, and you're telling
because
me?
Where I grew up in Jersey, where my friends lived in Jersey, that would be considered East Philadelphia. That's Camden.
Because East Philadelphia is Camden.
You guys are embarrassing yourself.
Oh, my God.
I'm embarrassed for you, actually.
Oh man, that was absolutely awesome. You've received an invitation now to sit in on the offensive game plan meeting where they help. I never understand why you script out the first 15 plays.
I've never known.
Why 15? And by the way, this all started back in the day, if you remember, with John Gruden. Back in the day, was one of the people with the scripting out the first 15. So if you're invited into the meeting, Shane Steichen brings you in. What's your input? I want them to roll the freaking dice. I want an ultra aggressive game plan. I'd be saying, Shane, They're vulnerable in the secondary. You're not going to be able to run the football unless you soften up that defense a bit. Get aggressive and get aggressive early. And I'm not talking about necessarily 40, 50 yards down the field. But get aggressive in your passing game early.
Yeah, I don't mind what they did against the Giants by throwing Devontae Smith coming all the way across the field, hitting him with a long pass.
Beautiful
early
pass.
Second play of the game. Yeah, I think you have to use the pass to set up the run in this game. I agree with you, John.
How aggressive, though?
I'd take a look at my first few plays and then decide what I'm going to be. I understand the scripting because you go into a game thinking you know a defense, but you don't know what's going to happen that day. And football, more than any other sport, you see it, you adjust to it, but you need to be ready first. So I understand the scripting. But I would come out a little aggressive, yeah. I would come out and throw some slants. I would get ball possession, good passes first. But I'd break it up with you know who I'm looking for? I'm looking for a Quez Watkins.
See, I've talked about the Quez Watkins anytime touchdown I'm definitely in on. Because I do believe it, he can beat them long.
Yeah. Their corner group isn't spectacular.
No.
They're very, very aggressive, trying to jump patterns and all that stuff. But you see that with Diggs in Dallas, and the Eagles have never had a problem with him. So, yeah, I would look ball possession type of passes first. Nobody's going to stop A.J. Brown on a full slant. You're just not. You're not going to come over him to tip a ball away. You're not going to prevent him from running his route. All that needs to be there is he and Jalen Hurts having the timing that they've always had. But, yeah, I would definitely use the pass to set up the run this week.
Are you feeling the same way, Pat? Are you're going opposite.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. You said pass set up the run.
No, yeah, I'm pass to set up the run.
I am also pass set up
the run. And I'm aggressive passing set up the run.
I think their secondary is way worse than their front four and their linebackers. I think they stop the run pretty much no matter what. They bottle that up. The difference is you have Jalen Hurts out there to keep the defense off balance. And we've seen Jalen Hurts' legs be able to give other teams fits when the other team has been able to bottle up the run. Primarily, I'm thinking of the Colts game,
right?
They pretty much stopped the Eagles' rushing attack, and then it was Jalen Hurts that had to get it going. So I would also try to throw the ball on them pretty early, because I think if you run the ball early, you're getting stopped and you're going three and out.
Where would you? I still want them to line up and run the ball sometimes on first down, though.
Sure,
because you have to show them that look to keep them honest.
The leading rusher left in the playoffs for the season is Miles Sanders.
I did not know that. See?
Yeah, the best offensive line left in the playoffs and maybe overall is the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. Is San Francisco really good against the run? Sure they are. No question. Have they faced a team like this Philadelphia Eagles offensive line?
No.
No. They had Jason. They were looking to play against Jason Peters a couple weeks back until he tapped out and didn't play against them. I mean, that's kind of the offensive lines that they were going up against. Seattle's offensive line doesn't compare. No, they're dealing with something they've never seen. They haven't seen yet this season in this Philadelphia Eagles run game. So, yeah, you still have that at your disposal.
I think if you get one dimensional, you're actually doing them a favor, Pat. Like you cannot get that way. So Jonathan Gannon, Pat, has invited you into the meeting. And so he's a guy that he wants you to come in and he wants you to tell you, well, Pat, what are you feeling? How do you feel?
How does it make you
feel?
Yeah,
exactly.
Popular question.
So he wants to know what do you feel about the defensive game plan against a team like the 49ers?
I trust my cornerbacks and safeties to keep the wide receivers at bay. Trust that. With the way that the running backs are banged up on San Fran, I trust my front four to shut them down, the defensive tackles, the big boys up front. I trust them to shut them down. It's Kittle that really is the one guy that I worry about. So it's going to be inherent that they kind of bottle him up, keep him in check, and really just put their best linebacker on him and shut him down early on, and then send the blitz to get Purdy uncomfortable. But disguise blitzes, because he's a rookie in this league, and while he's played well, just send him stuff that he has not seen before. It's incumbent on Jonathan Gannon to formulate this plan where he's sending him stuff that he just has never even seen. And it might be stuff that Jonathan Gannon has in the back pocket that he's been waiting on all season long for a moment like this.
And they're obviously going to flush him all day long.
Yeah, and tackling is so key in this game because what the Niners like to do is get the ball to those guys. Everybody we mentioned, Samuel, McCaffrey, Kittle, Ayuk, they look to get them in space. They look to get them the ball quick. And get, how many times have you seen it this year? Either wide receiver screens or you see McCaffrey like almost doing a defensive basketball shuffle where he's shuffling parallel to the line of scrimmage and then just going out in the flat and boom, there it is. They're getting rid of the ball quickly. They want those guys to catch and have space. You have to tackle well this weekend. I think Marcus Epps, we're going to see a lot of him this weekend. I think he's going to be have to come up from his safety spot. And when those little, I don't even want to call it checkdowns, but when those little swing passes and little slants are thrown, he's got to be there. It's him, CJ Gardner-Johnson, we need to see those guys getting tackles within that 10-yard frame.
And every one of their backs banged up.
Yeah.
didn't practice on Wednesday of NFC title game week.
Yeah.
And they have to travel tomorrow.
Yeah,
I mean, it's weird. They have a walkthrough tomorrow. This is dangerous to them.
Yeah.
Not practicing.
Well, that's the whole greatness about getting the number one seed, right? You had a week off. You play at home. You blow somebody out. You can sit your starters a little bit towards the end of the game. You have another extra day on top of the team coming in. That's the advantages you get as a number one seed.
I've been asked, how do you get the 50 for 50 wings that you guys were just talking about? Go to PJsPub.com. PJsPub.com for the big game for Sunday. $50 gets you 50 wings. That's awesome. Pat, that's absurd. There has to be a misprint here. That's incredible.
I'm speechless.
You are speechless.
I don't know what to say because it's just an absurdly good deal that I worry for Jim and the folks at PJ's. This could sink them.
It could very well. If the bacon wing didn't sink them,
But I think they're getting greedy with this.
They could be. The chili cumin wings, right, Coach? Mm-hmm. Cumin? Chili cumin wings. $5 for five during happy hour. We'll be at the PJ's tonight in Maple Shade.
Yep.
So we'll be able to see
We're
going to
have a lot of fun.
Right in the shade of all the maples.
Bob's birthday party.
Text to me asking what time and
what can they bring?
And yeah, let's do it. Bring yourself.
Hey, it's time for you to speak for yourself, Bob Cooney.
And now it's time for Bob Cooney's Speak for Yourself. Here's Bob.
Yeah, we're going to have to hold on 1 second because I left my sheet out at Connor's desk about Speak for Yourself. So if Connor's the best. So now we don't have to wait.
Connor figure that out?
That was my fault. He handed it to me and I started playing shuffleboard and answering text messages and I left it out there. So I apologize.
Such
way to go, Connor.
Yes,
sir.
That is great.
Okay, first question that was asked yesterday of Nick Sirianni, and it's on Nick Sirianni today, was about not being nominated for Coach of the Year and not making the top three that could possibly win it.
Yeah, that's something I can't control. And those awards are nice and everything like that. I'm really happy for Jalen and Shane that they're on that. But, you know, we have obviously much bigger things ahead and on our sights than individual awards.
Okay, I just wanted to put that out there because one of our topics over the last couple of days has been the kind of attitude of Nick Sirianni on the sidelines, the way he, you know, talks to referees, and it's kind of an uppity, you know, look how good we are attitude, it appears. I thought his answer was perfect, and to congratulate the other guys,
yes.
All right, good. So just to get that out of the way, that's where he is, that's where they are. I like everything about that. Okay, he was also asked about the pressure of this stage, not only for his players, but for him also.
It's our next game, and it's our next opportunity to play for each other. Again, you go through your process of everything like this, and it's the expectations of this great city and great fan base, but it's also our expectations. We don't get to this point in our profession with saying, hey, not every game's important, and every practice isn't important. Like, we're here for a reason. It's because we have that competitive drive. And then when your main goal of every week is to improve and to not let your guy down next to you and to make sure that you're doing your job because you love your teammate, you love your players, and that's all the motivation you need.
I'm not going to overstep this to say, oh, man, doesn't that make you want to run through a wall?
It doesn't.
But it's there. It's a cousin of running through a wall. And it's exactly what he believes in. It's exactly what he's been preaching all year long, not to just the media, but to his players about, look, it's the next game. And if you think you come in here to practice, lift weights, look through film, and you don't think you're going to get better, that you're just going through the steps, well, then we're not going to be in this position. I think he delivers it well. I think he delivers it often. And I don't think it's falling on tired ears at all. I think he's done an exceptional job of doing that, John.
I think it is something to his credit. His team's well prepared. You can't do anything about it. I mean, they're a very, very well-prepared team.
They are focused. I will say that. They are a focused team. And
part of that may be the veteran leadership, too.
Well, and I love the way the veterans talk about how the coach relays the message, too. So that's something that you got the veterans on your side because of the way that you treat all of this that I just mentioned. So I think that's all good. All right, we talked about him the other day. They scored their second touchdown, and he's looking into the camera and bobbing his head and making the faces and all of those things. So he was asked about that and also asked, what player on the team reminds you most of yourself?
All I care about is our team. I'm not really concerned about anything else that, you know, anybody thinks except for our team and trying to help those guys be in position to make plays and make them the best football players they possibly can be. The first person that came to mind was Chauncey.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Think about that. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who is a guy that is just crazy out there. Attitude, screaming in people's faces, all of that stuff.
Getting his car stolen and he's...
Yeah, we knew about it before he came here from New Orleans and he's carried it over into here. Nick Sirianni looks at himself as that type of coach, that he's just going to let his emotions flow. Take it for what you will, love it, hate it, whatever
it may be. I don't prefer it, the over the top, but I do prefer the results. So, I mean, look, he's being true to himself, which I think is
exactly
what you got to do.
The words I was just going to say.
You got to be true, right?
Yeah, exactly the words I was just going to say. And you can turn other people off and you can say, I don't care. Okay. If you're successful, sure. People throw that under the carpet, not a big deal. So, I like that he says it. I like what he says. So far, so good.
I believe him when he says it.
Oh, I do too. I think he wears his heart on his sleeve. I don't think there's any BSing with him. All right, going back to 2021, he was asked, when he changed the offense midseason, is he happy how far it's progressed and how has it happened?
You don't just change, we adapt, but sometimes it takes time to figure out exactly who you are as a football team and what you're good at and what you need to continue on with and what you need to table off to the side and what you need to get better at. So this is a constant evolving, right? If you're not adapting and evolving, you're going to get passed up. And so it's a constant involvement. It's a constant part of going back to our process of how we go about it and try to perfect our process.
See, this is the thing I look for more in head coaches, John, or most. He came in here, he had a system. They started out 2-5. He knew he had to change something up. He changed his system to better relate to the type of talent that he had. And it got successful. And then he built on that. And it starts with the quarterback and it goes on down there. Yes, he got additions to this team that made the team better. But he's really good at implementing a style that fits the talent that he has. And to me, biggest thing a coach can do, the best thing a coach can do. You can bring in a coach, Chip Kelly example, that has the scheme, is going to put it in no matter who the players, what the talent may be. To me, that's always a mistake. Coming in and looking exactly what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and playing away from the weaknesses and towards your strengths, I love that. And I think that's exactly what Nick Sirianni did with this change in the offense last year.
Well, he did. I mean, it was necessity. But yeah. I admire people who can say, let's change direction.
Yeah, I mean, and we talk about it. Jamie and I used to say it all the time. Bill Belichick, you don't know if they're going to be a running team from one week to a passing team the next. Why? Because he adjusts to what he's going up against. He adjusts his talents to what they can exploit from the other team. And I think that's the sign of a great, great coach.
So, I like that.
Yeah, I think he's ready for this. It's a big stage. It's a huge stage.
It is a huge stage.
It's his third playoff game. But I think he's ready for it. I really do. Yesterday, you know, we talk about confidence in players and all. Yesterday gave me some confidence in Nick Sirianni going into this game. I shouldn't say some. Gave me some more confidence going with Nick Sirianni into this NFC Championship game.
Pat, you were a little irrational yesterday again, when Hassan Reddick didn't get nominated for Defensive Player of the Year. I can't rip you for it, but I think you better. I don't understand it. Of what happens is that sometimes these writers or just obviously are watching a different game than we all watch.
I don't understand myself at times of why I get irrationally angry at guys not getting awards, because deep down there really is just one trophy that matters, and that's the championship trophy. But I do. It's not just this sport. It's all sports. When an injustice is served, I'm sitting there slamming the table being like, Joel Embiid should have won MVP. This is absurd. And I get angry at it. I don't know why. And it usually passes, and I usually remind myself, okay, fine, but you know what? The trophy's better, the Super Bowl trophy.
But the fact that Hassan Reddick wasn't a finalist.
That's unbelievable.
That is crazy.
You want to make the argument he's not defensive player of the year? Fine. A finalist? He had more sacks than Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons had about 20 more tackles, but he really primarily plays a different kind of linebacker. But he had, I think, one less tackle or one less sack than Nick Bosa. He led the league in forced fumbles.
Right.
And you look, we're privy to this information because we watch him every single week. And some of these writers, they probably didn't. They're probably just looking at a stat sheet. But his disruptiveness, the havoc that he causes, Brian Baldinger did a great breakdown on his like Baldy's breakdowns on Twitter about just how disruptive this guy is, even when he's not getting a stat, not getting a tackle, not getting a sack, forced fumble, pass deflection. He is just a menace out there.
He's a menace. And because nobody has found a way to... No one has found a way to make him totally irrelevant in the game all year long.
The fact that this guy did not get a finalist for Defense Player of the Year, the fact that Brandon Graham didn't get
a finalist for Comeback Player of the Year
when he didn't play. Darius Slate brought up a great point on Twitter. Like, all these guys you listed, they played last year. BG is 35 years old coming off an Achilles injury.
He got
hurt
in the second game.
And he's having a career year.
Here's the biggest case that I make for Hassan Reddick. See if you guys agree with me or not. Brandon Graham, Javon Hargrave, Josh Sweat do not have all the sacks they had this year without Hassan Reddick.
No questions asked. 100%
agree with you.
I can't say that about the other guys for the other guys. Like, I can't say, Sweat didn't have his 11, the other guys wouldn't get. No.
No, there's too many of them, by the way.
All the attention that's being paid to Hassan Reddick, and you see all the great moves that he makes and puts guys out of position on the offensive line that allows those other guys to fill up and eat. I can't believe he's not a finalist.
No, neither can I. And it's something that we've talked about on the air quite a bit is the teamwork that this defense does in order to get other people sacked. It's rarely guy beats a guy around the edge and that's it. A lot of, I'd say more than half the sacks are, it's the initial rush that pushes that person into the sack.
Yeah.
And he is a massive part of it. And when you look at the 49ers, Nick Bosa had a hell of a year. And I don't have a problem with him being a finalist.
But is
he having the impact on the 49ers defense like Hassan Reddick is having the impact on the Eagles defense? Is he setting up his fellow guys? He has 18 and a half sacks. Who's the next closest guy in the 49ers defense? He's got 5.
Well, they're out of their minds too. They're trying to spin it now. Like, well, I just responded to one of them. We're going, hey, the Eagles stats are totally blown up. They only got their sacks in a certain amount of games and all this number.
What?
The San Francisco group going, well, they got 23 sacks in 3 games. So if you take them out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
If you ignore the whole, you know. Other than the shooting, yes. Yeah, my American Cousin was a hell of a play.
There you go.
The graphics were insanely good.
But the shooting sort of marred it.
It was a little bit of a depressing ending.
Hey, we want to get you in now for Game Time. It's fabulous prizes, life-changing events coming your way. Let's have some fun. Let's play Game Time on this Thursday morning. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Get on in. John Kincaid, Sean, the Fanatic.
We always have fun here, John, and you can also have fun with FanDuel. Because imagine if your favorite casino came with an undo button. Well, you get that with FanDuel Casinos. Play it again. Get up to $1,000 back if you're down after your first day. Play your favorite table games and hundreds of slots for real cash. See why FanDuel Casino is the number one rated online casino app. You got to check out their daily and weekly promotions because they're so good and you get to play with live dealers. And don't be afraid of it because if you ever have a question, they have an in-class customer support team that's there all the time. So sign up for FanDuel Casino with promo code Bob today and play it again with up to $1,000 back if you're down after your first day. That's promo code Bob. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania, must not have previously placed any wager on FanDuel Sportsbook, FanDuel Casino, Betfair Casino, Mohegan Sun Casino, or Stardust Casino. Refund issued as non-withdrawable casino-only site credit that expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/casino. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's a Bob's birthday edition of Game Time here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So be sure to join us tonight out at PJ's in beautiful Maple Shade, New Jersey, underneath the shade of the maples. Come on by tonight and join us for a little PJ's happy hour and on our Bob's birthday.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a lot of good fun tonight. Can't wait. Connor says he's ready to roll tonight. I don't know what that meant. But
it's Bobapalooza.
It's Bob, yes.
Bobapalooza, yes.
Sounds good. Let's get to the game, though.
Let's jump into our time machine. Hit the button for the year 1996.
1996 has been programmed.
Let's go. 2020. 2015. 2010. 2000. 1999. We have arrived. The year is now 1996.
Oh, man. 96.
We're here, guys. We're wearing fanny packs and reading John Grisham novels. Let's have a day, okay? Get your AOL CDs with 1,000 free hours. Plug them in, and let's get ready for
it. I won't go dark, but I have cancer again. It's not the best time.
Let's do that.
What are we doing? Let's have the fun with the game.
We did this last week. People seem to like it, so we're going to do it again with 96 because that was the last time the Eagles faced the 49ers in a playoff game. They lost 14-0. It was unfortunate. The song you hear right now was a big at the time, with Jagged Little Pill by Alanis Morissette about Uncle Joey.
There's a play, by the way, right now in Philadelphia called Jagged Little Pill.
There is, yeah. It's Broadway as well. So the way this is going to work is the caller is going to get paired up with one of you guys.
Oh, boy.
And you guys have to answer the question. The caller just tells me if they agree or disagree with you guys.
All right.
And we have some really good prizes today. So what we have is a 4-pack of tickets to the Philly Auto Show. We have a pair of tickets for Saturday's Sixers-Nuggets game.
Big game.
Jokic. We have a pair of tickets to go see the Impractical Jokers at Freedom Mortgage Pavilion on February 3rd. And we have a pair of tickets to go see Sarah Silverman's Grow Some Lips Tour. So 610-632-0975 to get involved. We will start off with Ryan in Deptford.
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's going on? Happy birthday, Bob.
Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Ryan, you are going to be teamed up with John. And John, the first question I have for you is, the last time these two teams played, this John Travolta movie was number one at the box office. What was it? Last time these two teams played, this John Travolta movie was number one.
Ryan, I believe it's Pulp Fiction.
Ryan, do you agree or disagree?
I agree.
No, Face Off?
No, it wasn't Pulp Fiction, guys. The buzzer didn't work there.
Ryan.
No, unfortunately, it wasn't Pulp Fiction. It was Michael, where he becomes the Archangel Michael. Didn't exactly...
That was number one.
That was number one.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible. What a bad year for...
Yeah, Pulp Fiction was 94. That was the famous, like, 94 of year of Forrest Gump won Best Picture, and everyone rioted, but yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Unfortunately, you cost your...
I'm sorry about that, buddy.
You probably lost a listener there. Good job.
There you go. Sorry about that.
Chris in Barrington.
Barrington's
next.
New Jersey, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go.
What's up, Chris?
Chris?
Chris must have fallen off.
610-632-0975. Let's go to John in the Northeast while we wait for
Chris.
What's
up, Johnny?
Yeah, happy birthday, Bobby.
Thank you, John.
All right, John, you are going to be teamed up with the birthday boy, Bob. And your question that I have for you is, this league had its debut in 1996, but Philly wouldn't get a team until 2008. What league was it, Bob?
John, I'm going to go with Major League Soccer.
John, do you agree or disagree with Bob?
2008. I want to agree.
Okay, that's a pretty good decision.
Yeah, yes. John!
MLS was there, I think.
My man!
I think Coach tried out, but he failed, and now we're stuck with him. But the MLS knowledge by Bob is going to win the caller a 4-pack of tickets to the Philly Auto Show.
Oh, that's good.
The Philly Auto Show returns January 28th to February 5th, filled with the latest models, classes, exotics. Visit PhillyAutoShow.com for details.
I can't believe Bob's never been to the auto show. That's still baffling. I'm telling you, it's such a good time.
Maybe John will take me.
Grab a beer, walk around, you'll love it.
Grab a beer and walk around.
I'll no, you'll love it.
Grab a beer and walk around the car show.
It's fun. No, it is. The car show is great.
Don't drink and drive, but go to the car show.
There you go.
All right, let's go to Rich in South Philly.
Hi, Rich.
Good morning, guys. Happy birthday, Bob.
Thanks, Rich.
Rich, you were going to be teamed up with John for this one. And the question I have is, this future Eagle played in that playoff game that we discussed. He played in the game as a rookie, but he played for the 49ers. Who is he? Once again, This future Eagle played in that playoff game way back in 96. He was a rookie, but he played for the 49ers. Who is he?
It's not who we were thinking. Because in 95, he was an Eagle. It's not Ricky.
Oh, okay.
It's not Ricky Waters. It's Coy Detmer.
Rich, do you agree or disagree?
I'm gonna agree with John.
Dude, stop doing that.
I'm sorry, dude.
John doesn't know football.
What was it?
It was Terrell Owens.
He was a rookie in 96. And I'm sorry, dude.
I don't know if you know this. Eventually, he became an Eagle.
He did, and Bob was in his driveway while he was doing sit-ups.
At this rate, we're not going to have any more listeners because you keep losing.
Running them off.
Let's go to Rich in New Jersey.
Let's see. Rich.
Good morning. Happy birthday, Bob.
Thanks, Rich.
He's got the birthday boy to help him.
Buddy.
Rich, you'll be teamed up with the birthday boy and Bob. And Bob, the question is, in what month did the blizzard of 96 happen in? In what month did the blizzard of 96 take place in?
Rich, I'm pretty confident in this because the Eagles played the Cowboys that day in a playoff game. It was January.
Do you agree or disagree, Rich?
I agree.
Yeah!
Damn right, it was January. Right, like the 14th? 10th? Something like that?
I just remember carrying my kids over to my brother-in-law's house through the snow to go watch the game.
That's awesome.
All right, I have a really good prize for Rich. It's a pair of tickets to Saturday's
Nuggets
game. Rich!
Purchase tickets for any 76ers game via Ticketmaster.com/76ers.
Oh, that's going to be a great game. Really, that's an afternoon game,
yep,
too.
3 p.m.
That's even better.
National television. All right, Tony in the Bay Area.
Tony, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, all right, Tony. Man. Let's see if we can get you one. Wait a minute.
Tony, who are you cheering for?
Oh, I'm a Niner fan through and through.
Okay,
oh,
jackass. Let's give you a hard one.
Let's see. Pat, find the hardest question for Tony.
I don't need to find a hard question because he's paired with you, John, so he's screwed already. All right, so, Tony, you'll be paired with John, and the question I have is, this famous play opened up in 1996.
Oh, Tony.
Okay, so you disagree.
Oh, Tony.
You were wrong, Tony.
I was right, Tony.
Yeah, Tony, he was right. John was actually right. This one, it wasn't
shockingly
Rent. It doesn't matter. Tony, unfortunately.
And he was a Niners fan, so we really didn't.
We had a specialty prize for him. It was a loss in the NFC Championship game that he got to witness from his couch.
That's great.
Because they didn't clinch the number one seed. So, unfortunately,
we love that.
But thank you. Thank you for listening, Tony. I do appreciate it.
We will get him a copy of the poop app so he knows how to walk around San Francisco.
Let's go to Brian and Voorhees. Brian is on the Fanatic.
What's up, Brian?
He is going to be paired with Bob.
What's going on, guys?
Let's see if the birthday boy can help you out.
All right, Bob?
Yes.
Which remaining quarterback in the playoffs was born in 1996? You've got four options here. Which remaining quarterback was born in 96? Do you need the options?
16. Yeah.
You have Patrick Mahomes, you have Joe Burrow, you have Jalen Hurts, and you have Brock Purdy. Who was born in 96?
I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes.
Do you agree or disagree, Brian?
Right,
you got to trust me. My man.
He's not your man anymore, Bobby.
Oh, no. Shoot.
Who was it?
Joe Burrow was born in 1996. Patrick Mahomes was born in, I believe, 95.
Wow.
27, Burrow?
Yeah.
Wow.
He graduated from LSU as a senior.
Yeah, he did. Well, a fifth-year senior.
Yeah, he went to Ohio State for the 2 years.
Man.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Well, let's keep it moving. Rob in New Jersey. We'll get some winners. Don't worry. Rob in New Jersey.
Well, let's just say let's go Rob. Hi, Robbie.
Hey, how you doing? Happy birthday, Bob.
Thanks, Rob.
Rob, bad news is you're teamed up with John for this one.
Wait a minute. I got a win last time.
Okay, all right.
Well, I didn't get a win because the person didn't believe me.
Well, I wouldn't have believed you either with your track record. John, tell me. This sheep was cloned in 1996. What was her name?
Oh.
The famous cloned sheep. What was her name?
Oh, gosh. I know this name.
Well,
I know it.
I can tell, by the way, that you're not answering the question. Five. Four. Every second counts.
Dolly.
Do you agree or disagree with Dolly, Rob?
Dolly.
Do you agree or disagree?
I agree with Dolly.
All right, let's find out.
Yeah,
nailed it.
Good job, John.
It only took half the segment, but John got it, and he didn't even Google it. I looked. He is going to win you a pair of tickets to see the Impractical Jokers at Freedom Mortgage Pavilion on February 3rd. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
I keep my hands where you
You figured it out. Let's go to a couple more here. Let's go to Chris in Barrington.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Second caller from Barrington? This is amazing.
Yeah, we're huge in Barrington. We have T-shirts available at the Fanatic Pro Shop. Chris, you're going to be teamed up with Bob for this one. Bob. Minimum wage in 96 was what? You have three options here. 375, 475, 625. What was minimum wage? 375, 475, 625.
Chris, I'm going to go right in the middle at 475, and I'm going to say I'm pretty confident.
Do you agree or disagree, Chris?
I disagree.
Unfortunately, Chris, Bob was right. 475 was the correct
amount. What part of
that
I'm pretty confident did you not understand?
Not everybody likes you, Bob. And they just,
I know that.
Yeah. Happy birthday, though. All right, let's get like two more in here. Anthony and Cherry Hill.
Anthony!
What's going on, boy?
Hey, man, let's get your winner on Bob's birthday.
Anthony, you are going to be teamed up with John Kincaid. John, the question is, who was the Time Person of the Year in 1996? You also have a few options here. You have Dr. David Ho, Bill Clinton, Kenneth G, or Sam Clancy. Once again, Dr. David Ho, Bill, a.k.a. William Clinton, Kenneth G, or Sam Clancy. Who was the Time Person of the Year?
Dr. Ho.
Do you agree, Anthony, that Ho was the Person of the Year?
I'm going to agree. He seemed pretty confident.
Yeah, and John Kincaid knows his hoes.
Yeah, baby.
Absolutely.
The
yes.
Hoes, baby.
Yeah, Bill Clinton, obviously. Kenny G.
Kenny G.
Sam Clancy was a former Sixers draft pick, so he didn't win it either.
From USC, I believe.
Yes, he was, yes. A pair of tickets to Sarah Silverman's Grossome Lips Tour coming to Ocean Casino Resort in Atlantic City on February 4th. Tickets and info at oceanac.com.
Was he he wasn't Barney Clark's heart, was he? Dr. Ho?
I don't know. He was. I think he did something with AIDS.
Oh, okay. There you
but
go.
I don't know.
That would make sense.
And then finally, let's go to Lou in Norristown.
Lou.
Hey, Lou.
Lou.
Lou, you're going to be teamed up with our guy, Bob Cooney, the birthday boy.
Come on, Lou.
The question is...
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Lou.
What was the must-have Christmas toy in 96? Must-have. Couldn't find it anywhere.
I'm going to say the... what the hell is it called? The Elmo thing. Not Color Me Elmo, but what the Elmo toy.
I need a name, Bob.
Really? Tickle Me Elmo.
Drinking With Me Elmo.
No, Tickle Me Elmo.
All right, do you agree, Lou, that it was Tickle Me Elmo?
I do.
Yeah! Nailed it, yes. Tickle Me Elmo was indeed the must-have toy. Probably second was the N64, the new gaming system. Good news, Lou, is he just won you a 4-pack of tickets to the Philly Auto Show. Experience the ride. Philly Auto Show returns January 28th to February 5th, filled with the latest models, classics, exotics. Visit PhillyAutoShow.com for details.
We have one more that I'll ask you guys.
Okay. Right? And you can battle it out. Just throw the name out when you get it, all right? Who was the Eagles starting quarterback in that game?
Detmer.
Which one? There's a few.
Ty.
Thank you. Sit here and just say Detmer on my
game. And that's why I was so dumb with the Coy Detmer.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. People are laughing at you on the YouTube.
Because Ty did that. Well, Daniel Bender's saying here, he was only 10 in 96 and he had the T.O. question. I can't believe the T.O. question.
As I said, people are really mocking you.
That wasn't good.
I
honestly wouldn't even show my face at PJ's tonight because...
I honestly thought the T.O. was after that as a rookie.
I don't know if I would have gotten that, honestly.
Well, the thing was, the first answer... And Bob was sort of, I could see in his wheels working. Ricky Waters, that was his rookie year as an Eagle.
Yeah,
I mean, his
first year
as an Eagle.
Had a good year.
That was for who, for what? During the home opener with Tampa Bay. For who, for what?
Uh-huh.
Why am I going to go over
Why
the middle?
Why am I going to throw my arms out there to try to catch a ball instead of being an alligator arm?
He had a nice career here. He made a business decision.
Yeah,
he was the first running back to have 1,000 yards with three different teams.
Hey, I got to give a shout out.
Yes.
I share a birthday with one of our YouTube people.
Who's that?
Patrick McManus. Patrick, 126.71. Yeah, baby, love you. Now, I also got something else here, John. This is pretty cool.
What's that?
I got a happy birthday text during the break. The Eagle that I brought up that I said my father, number 64, Ed George, holding, like that'll never leave me.
Right, always be in mind.
Matt Cord, our friend from down the street, worked for the Eagles and just sent me a photo of the Eagles team picture in which Matt Cord is standing right behind number 64, Ed George.
Why? Well, where does that even come from?
He had it.
Matty Cord is he's one of those people.
He was on a cereal
box.
Seriously, he was in a commercial when he was younger.
Video games.
He tried to do modeling and all. He's everywhere. He's the best.
And the adult films thing fell through.
If you search deep in the recesses of Lobster Tube, you can find some of
the Matt Cord,
some of his
adult films,
his like avant-garde feet videos.
He really did. I mean, he had quite a career.
Still does?
I mean, well, seriously.
Right?
Does, yeah.
Good guy. If you think of the Sixers, you got Zink and you got Cord.
Uh-huh. That's it.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. And for those who didn't know Dave Zinkoff, I mean, he was, I just remember, Malone.
Yeah,
he loved those. He always had his. He was fun. And Matty Cord doing the same type of things. And we appreciate him listening. Big fan. He ain't listening to that Candy Winters or Peter and Stan. He's listening to us. He's listening on the way in. We appreciate that.
Until we go to break.
He knows.
Then he bounces around. Hey, the Bird Stars drive Barbera cars. Why don't you take advantage of the DallasStillSucks.com event? It's going on at Gary Barbera. Is Barbera the best? Boy, I guess. Visited and drive a car just like Nick Sirianni does. Coach Sirianni does it. In Cooney's Corner, he wants to talk about the elements. I didn't even know he was the science guy.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
I was horrible at science.
I did not like science.
I didn't like science, and it's weird because I came to like it, but I didn't like social studies back then.
Oh, I loved social studies.
Yeah, I came to like it later on in life.
Mr. Donahue was my favorite teacher.
Favorite thing about your Eagles offense? Quick, off top of your head, favorite thing.
Balance.
Pat?
Yeah, it's got to be the balance.
It's funny. There's so much to like. It's the run game. It's the pass game. It's Jalen Hurts. It's the offensive line, right? All of these things. It took till yesterday or a couple days this week as I'm watching and leafing through some things. We totally overlooked something.
What do you mean?
And it could be Shane Steichen. It could be Nick Sirianni. It could be the combination of the two of them, which I'm pretty sure it is. The play design is absolutely unbelievable.
It's exquisite.
I went back and watched Dan Orlovsky, and he does it with two other guys, and it's Mark Spears.
Ryan Clark.
And Mark Spears.
And Marcus Spears.
Right, Marcus Spears. So it's so weird. There's a Marcus Spears that covers the NBA also for you. But whatever. I went back and watched them do their three-man thing on Eagles plays. And it is, I'll tell you what, those guys are so much fun to watch.
They do a great job.
The energy they have, the knowledge that they have, the way they jump in and say, look, this is what he's looking at, this way. The play design for the Eagles, more times than not, I went back and watched a lot of them. Dan Orlovsky laughs out loud at how good they are. And yesterday was an example of one of the things I watched off of last week's games against the Giants, and he said, look at how many options that Jalen Hurts has. And he's literally laughing out loud. And this was just off of an RPO that went for a huge run that didn't look like it was going to be there, but when he broke it down and showed the gaps that he had, and he said, you have slant coming here, slant coming here, you have offensive linemen pulling this way, going that way. It wasn't just that it ended up being a Miles Sanders RPO that went for about 16 yards. It was that there were multiple things that the Eagles could have done.
Opening.
Oh, my God. He could have thrown to two different guys. He could have run it himself where he had a gap as big as daylight, John. And then he gives it off to Sanders, who goes the other way, off to the left-hand side when it looks like the play was going to the right. The play designs that these guys come up with, I got to give a standing ovation.
I like that.
And it's something that we don't talk about all that often. It's the Orlovskys of the world, the Baldingers, that do break these things down, and it really shows what a good job these offensive minds are doing.
I love the watching Dan Orlovsky. I tell you, NFL Live is on my DVR every day.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't watch it the whole show, because if they start talking about the Titans and the Buccaneers or something, I'll fast forward through. But I'll look for Eagles content and everything. Those guys do an amazing job. Dan Orlovsky is really, really good
at
explaining things that he's seeing.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to sit down with coaches and assistant coaches through the years and in the NBA and watch film in basketball. Now, to me, it's fundamental reading. I can read that easily enough, and I can see things, and it's really cool to see different eyes watching. I can't watch 22 guys the way they do. I just can't. I'll admit it. Look, I'm as big a sports fan as there is.
No, but you can't.
And I think I know stuff and what I... Man, the way these guys read and know what these guys are doing, it is amazing. And I really, really learned something from watching the way these guys read it all. And what I learned over this week
was how good
Sirianni and Steichen are diagnosing these guys to get open. And multiple guys to get open on different plays. This RPO that they run with Jalen Hurts, I don't want to call it unstoppable right now, but I can't imagine being a defense going up against it.
I love seeing it, and I love the enthusiasm for it.
I just don't know how you stop it when you look at the videotape. If you're D'Amico Ryans and you see 1 week, and look, it was a regular season, it was 2 months ago, but you see 1 week where they just throw it all over an opposing defense, and the next week they come out and they run it all
that's
over
where it is.
An opposing defense, and they continue to add little wrinkles into the game plan later on in the season where I felt like they were doing it to make defenses think they were playing the long game. Defense in the playoffs. And I brought it up when it happened, but the rush up the middle that Jalen Hurts would always take. Fourth and short, he would just rush up the middle, and he pretty much always does. But then at like week 12, he decided to, instead of, he faked the rush up the middle and went to the left. It was another wrinkle that opposing defenses are going to have to think about, and they just kept adding to it. It was a really good job by Shane Steichen to just continue to add layers to this offense.
Yeah.
Hey, book your spot now. Join Andrew Salchunas and Tyrone Johnson. It's the Fanatics' official playoff watch party down in the borough of Westchester at Barnaby's this Sunday at 3 o'clock, presented by Corona. Visit 97.5thefanatic.com for details. You heard what I said. Book your spot now. Barnaby's, Pat, you know it. It's going to fill up. And it's going to be wild.
It's a really good spot.
It's going to be a great, great time. Come on out and join them there. A buddy of mine, Damon Bruce, who works out doing an afternoon drive in San Francisco, is going to join us. And he's going to give you the inside skinny on the 49ers and their chances. Should be spirited. Should be fun. He'll join us in the next hour. John Kincaid Show on 97.5, The Fanatic. With the Bet Parks app, I honestly got to put this thing down. Because I have placed so many small wagers on this Sunday's NFC Championship game. I can't wait for it. With the birds in the big game, you're going to want to be a part of it. And if you're a new user, you can get up to $750 in sportsbook bonus back if your first bet isn't a winner. So I want you to download the app now and start playing instantly with the Bet Parks Sportsbook and Casino app. You're going to love it. It also has the casino games, too. So if you're interested in that, you want to get in on some of those, that's always a lot of fun. If your first bet's not a winner, up to $750 in sportsbook bonus back. That is really, really taking the pressure off going into this weekend. I laid the points at 2.5. I laid the points at 2. I like the Eagles minus 1.5 in the first half of the game. Telling you right now, there's so many ways to win. You got to be in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. You got to be 21. See betparks.com for terms and conditions. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic. 97.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Pat, don't act like you've never
done
the safety dance.
Are you trying to call time out or something?
The safety dance.
The safety dance.
It's not really my thing.
I know what you're talking about.
Not really my thing.
Well, they couldn't do that.
I'll be honest. I know what you're talking about.
They could not do the safety dance video today.
I did the unsafety dance.
They could not be doing that today.
It's erotic.
You didn't do it. It was unsafety dance?
Yeah, it gets the people going. It's provocative.
John Kincaid Show. Here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Clayton wants to know, are you serious about Matt Cord in adult films? I said no!
Go on,
we're not serious.
Type that name in. Type in Matt Cord feet.
Matt Cord, though, he thought that he laughed. Clayton goes, the name I could see being an adult film star. Matt Cord.
Get it, Pat?
Say, get it,
Matt
Pat?
Cord.
He went by the name Cord or Roy.
Cord or Roy.
Yeah, that's his adult film name, but you that's can probably find it somewhere. Deep recesses.
Okay, we got to wake up Damon Bruce this morning to join us live from San Francisco. He'll join us in a bit. I get to be on his show at like 7:15 tomorrow night, which is like 4:15 their time. But he's got to get up early with me. But he's got a young kid, so I mean, it's all right. So.
Yeah, he's up. Hey, it's overrated.
The 9 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by The Bagster. Even on Bob's birthday. It's the dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. And for details, go to bagster.com. Again, we're going to get in much more about the NFC title game. But the Sixers last night, huge win. Just want to make sure we give them a little love. That's a nice win. Way to start the homestand. But the big one's tomorrow. I mean, a Saturday, excuse me, afternoon with Denver in town. It's going to be a great sports weekend.
It is. Here in town. I love the afternoon game. I love the way the Sixers responded last night. Look, they went, they got outscored 18-4 at one point and couldn't hit a shot. And went, I believe, over 5 minutes without a field goal or a point and still scored 137 points. So their
that's
offense,
incredible.
Their offense was good last night. I really love. And they talked to Maxey. I watched the National last night just to get a different perspective.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I did. I watched ESPN. And they interviewed Maxey before the game. And he sounded so mature and good about coming off the bench. He's like, look, our whole team's about doing what's best for the team. I'm fine with it. I'll do whatever's best for the team. And it wasn't BS. You could tell he was... And he has embraced it, and he is doing really well at it.
Well,
and
again,
I think
though,
it adds a great dimension to this team.
He's getting still his 30 minutes a game.
Sure he is. Absolutely.
So is it just a little bit of an ego thing, potentially?
Yeah, you don't get announced before the game.
That's it.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
But you do get to make the grand entrance. You get to make that entrance into the game when everybody's like... You know, yeah. he hits the floor and everyone goes wild.
Yeah, I'm not hitting the game-winning shot, 5 seconds into the game. It's not happening. But if you have me out on the floor, like they will Tyrese Maxey, in the last 3, 4, 5 minutes of the game, he's going to have a chance to do that.
The Staples stores are a new world of possible. They've got innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. You can explore more at your local Staples store or visit staplesconnect.com. Calm to be able to do that. Beautiful weather coming in for the weekend. Just a heads up.
Yeah.
I mean, we got, for NFC Championship game weekend, you couldn't ask for much more.
It went up. It was,
yes.
When you and I looked at the beginning of the week, it was around 50 degrees for Sunday. This morning, when we were watching our different stations, it was up to 54, 55 for Sunday.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it is going to be a beautiful day. We're going to have great, great weather. And look, the folks from San Francisco, we want them to feel comfortable here. We want them to feel very comfortable when they come in. Yeah. Just like I want my buddy Damon Bruce to feel very, very comfortable joining us here on the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And Damon, a lot of people still hear references all the time to Matt Nahagian, who used to run this station. So, I mean, I understand he called you to wake you up this morning. Was that the deal?
Look, I'm excited to talk to you. But that impression of Matt Nahagian that just got me out of bed is one of the single greatest impressions I have ever heard in my life.
Wow.
Pat, give him a little more.
Give him a little. All I want to do is win, and I just don't know if I have the right guy.
But do you have a number on him?
Yeah, I asked him. I said, if you have a number on Jerry Rice, could you text it to me?
Get
I want to get him on.
Get that Damon Bruce on.
It'd be great.
I'm telling you. Behind the scenes here, that's our former program director who is down in San Francisco.
Get back to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Boston's a big Damon Bruce fan.
Does he say get back to the 49ers?
Oh, my God. It's amazing. It's like listening to him. Really,
we're not just broadcasting to San Francisco. We're doing the whole Bay Area.
Hey, there you go. Damon, I'm so glad you got up early with us this morning because I wanted to be able to really be able to exchange, play a little chess with you because I know you to be very opinionated, but I also know you be objective. When you're looking at the 49ers-Eagles matchup, do you believe that you see significant places where the 49ers could potentially exploit the Eagles?
It's a run game. The question of how much damage can the 49ers do throughout four quarters of football against an outstanding Philadelphia team in the buzzsaw conditions that'll be waiting for the 49ers. I think you're going to know whether the Eagles are kind of in trouble, slightly in trouble, or no trouble at all based on how the interior of the offensive line is blocking against the interior of that Eagles defensive line. If Christian McCaffrey is approaching 100 scrimmage yards by halftime, we got ourselves a football game. If that's not happening, if Deebo Samuel hasn't done something that has made that entire stadium a little nervous by halftime, maybe this game will be, you know, what a lot of people are saying could be waiting for the 49ers. Reality check. What I think is amazing here, John, and one of the angles that I've been working all week long is how lucky are we to cover the first ever NFC title game with two teams that have beaten absolutely nobody on the way. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that truly extraordinary that we're living in this time where two untested, unproven, lucky to be here.
Oh, yeah.
Football teams meet in the NFC title game.
That's all you ever hear is that these teams have accomplished nothing. And there is one thing, though. I do think a lot of those defensive stats of your 49ers have been accumulated as sort of empty calories. I really do believe these defenses are pretty much dead even as far as both the same level of excellence.
We got a fair fight in the NFC title game. We have an absolute fair fight, and before the country needed to see a third version of Eagles and Cowboys, we needed a first version of 49ers and Eagles. Hey, it was a down year for the NFC. I don't think there's any arguments about that. There were fraudulent teams masquerading as contenders. I'm looking at you, Minnesota, the entire season. And, you know, the Giants were a great story, but they get dispatched by a much better Philadelphia team. And now here we go. This is the game that this conference needed, because we've had two teams that have been incredibly balanced, incredibly well-coached, incredibly well-designed from the first man to the last man on the roster. And the 49ers have proved that implicitly with the story of Brock Purdy. And, you know, I mean, it's just been amazing how it's taken over. But I'm telling you, this is really a story about Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel being skeleton keys that have finally opened up an offense to the degree where it complements as good of a defense as you guys are going to run into all year. So this is going to be a monster fight. I think the AFC title game is going to have maybe more bells and whistles on it, but this thing is going to be old school football, drag down, bare knuckle. This has got 17-10 written all over it.
So, Damon, the way you're speaking, it sounds like here, the first of my two questions here, it looks like McCaffrey and Samuel, too, are okay to go?
Yeah.
100% or, you know.
No injuries.
No injuries?
Why are they not practicing?
We're looking at veteran days. We're just looking at, there's no reason to have anybody, you know, twist an ankle on a stupid play 3 days before the most important game of your lives. You know, sure. that's going on.
Now, the second part of my question, going back to Brock Purdy, I've been thoroughly impressed with his calmness, with the way he's handled a game, all of those things. I'll admit that I only watched three quarters of that Dallas game, but what is the weaknesses about Brock Purdy, if there are some that maybe the Eagles could exploit? What are some things that maybe concern San Francisco fans about his game?
I think that the thing that you're counting on to happen, some big eyes and a rookie peeing down his leg, that's the one thing that I think could happen. But there's no reason to think that's going to happen just because he was drafted where he was drafted. I'm going to tell you right now, his origin story is fantastic, but we're well beyond that now. He is a starting quarterback in this game, and he looks to be the part. I mean, we keep on looking. All sorts of, you know, the way that you want a proof of life photo during a kidnapping, you know, prove to me that he can do it. Prove to me that this guy can continue to play like this. He hasn't proven that he can't keep this up. I mean, we're looking for it. We've studied him like Zapruder film for the last seven games in a row, and there's no reason to think that he can't do this. The same reason after watching the NFC, you know, divisional round against the Giants, there's no reason for me to think that Jalen Hurts' shoulder is going to be a prohibitive, game-changing factor. He looked really good to me, so I'm not even talking about, well, what if Jalen Hurts is only 80%? Well, if he is, he looks like he's 80% of Jalen Hurts, and Jalen Hurts was good enough to make the MVP of the league this year. So there's nothing wrong with either of these guys. There's nothing wrong with the winning percentages or competition or shared opponents in this title game. It's going to be great. It just shows you that we live in a world where people just want to take everything apart.
Damon Bruce from 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. He's been a staple out there all over the dial for years. And an Indiana Hoosier, Bob, by the way.
Oh, is that right?
So, I mean, the college hoops out there, Damon, I mean, not as intriguing to you?
When I want to, like, wax poetic about games at the Palestra or anything like that, it does not resonate with the audience out here. I'll tell you that. But
Hey, big win for the Hoosiers last night over Minnesota. Can you guys get me a number on Trace Jackson Davis?
Yeah, that's what I'd have to do. Let's ask a couple things here. I said something, and I heard you make a comment. It's got 17-10 written all over it. I made a bold prediction the other day and said flat out, I think it's going to be the Eagles are going to have 17 points at halftime. Does that sound absurd to you, knowing what you know about that San Francisco defense? Because I think they're going over the top, and I think they're going over the top with an aggressive game plan early.
Here's the thing. I think we will know who's got a real advantage around halftime. I really do. I don't think this game is going to have two distinctly different flavored halves. I think a team is going to come out there and establish what it can do. And if the Eagles are hitting big plays, if A.J. Brown is looking at a 100-plus yard afternoon, yeah, that's how the Eagles do this. That is how everyone who is traveling out there this week goes, oh, damn, man, this is a better Philadelphia team, and we just wasted a couple grand flying to the East Coast in the middle of winter. What were we thinking? Anything could happen on a football field in a football game. We know that. But 17 points in a half?
Yep, 17.
Against the 49ers?
Yep.
You know me.
I'm gonna say it. I may put my foot in my mouth, but I'm gonna say it. I really do believe they're gonna.
There's nothing wrong with it. Hey, look, that could happen. It's happened before in football games. It's happened before against good defense that were ballyhooed. But I would be very surprised if that's the game plan D'Amico Ryans has out there that is allowing 17 points and a half. I mean, I just don't see that, because this defense, however good you think yours is, believe me, the 49ers think their defense is just as good, has met the match. And Nick Bosa and Talanoa Hufanga and, Fred Warner are just a little bit too good in their defensive assignments. A big play, a shot play hit against them, yeah. Several in a row, I don't see it. They're too disciplined. They're too good. There's too much pressure on a dropping back Jalen Hurts by this front line to give you several big plays. So I'm not here to tell you that the 49ers are winning this game and you can book it and that's good sports talk radio. I'm not, that's not the interview I do. It's not right. Who I am, but I would be surprised if this were a blowout or a comfortable lead for either team at any point in time in this game. I don't think there's a comfort factor built into this game.
Damon, you can generalize on this question or be specific, but if I ask you, the 49ers can't win unless they do this. What is the this?
About 150, 175 rushing yards.
Ooh.
Where Debo Samuel is the kind of guy where you don't know where he is on the field. Is he in the slot? Is he out wide? Is he in the backfield? Is he running next to Christian McCaffrey? They got chess pieces that they can move everywhere. And it's going to be one of those gaudy scrimmage days by somebody. That's it. I don't think the 49ers can win this with anything that looks like a box score that beat the Dallas Cowboys, where when you opened it up at the end, you realized, hey, nobody had more than six catches. Nobody had 100 receiving yards. Nobody had 100 rushing yards. The team collectively didn't have more than 115 rushing yards. Brock Purdy didn't have a touchdown with his arm or with his legs. I don't think the 49ers can get away with you really got to get into the nuance of what happened there. There's going to have to be a clear, present threat all afternoon in McCaffrey and Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle that have everybody in Philadelphia going like, damn, that guy is good. We didn't think he was that good. He is that good. And I'll tell you, that is who Christian McCaffrey has been since he showed up out here. Like, I knew he was good, but there are some players in this league you don't appreciate until you see the plays that don't make the highlight reel. Like Christian McCaffrey on 2nd and 7 doesn't make SportsCenter. But I'll tell you, Christian McCaffrey on 2nd and 7 picks up 8 yards to keep the chains moving, like every time I look at him. He is a special, better than I thought he was, even though I knew he was good. I didn't know he was this good level of football player. Somebody in a Niners uniform needs to have a gaudy afternoon, and maybe that somebody plays defense. You know, Nick Bosa's played a couple of playoff games where the numbers attached to him have not been gaudy. He needs a two-sack game. He had a two-sack game against Philadelphia in week 2 of last year. So maybe he figures out what is an outstanding offensive line, and that's where the gaudy number comes from. But no nuance. That's how the 49ers win this game. Not with a nuanced game, but with somebody pulling out the sledgehammer.
A lot of people traveling out, have you heard, coming out for this game that of your listenership?
Yeah. I mean, the 49ers fans travel as well as any football fan base in this league. They have taken over Allegiant Stadium. They have taken over SoFi Stadium.
They won't be doing that here, but...
I know that. I know that. But you will see as many pockets of opposing fans in this game as you've probably seen all year. And yes, people who are flying out there understand that minding P's and Q's would be in their best interest.
Yes.
Quietly and enthusiastically, you know, root for your own team, but you probably don't want to make eye contact with anybody all afternoon.
Especially the women. It's because they can be the toughest. They can be the toughest of all, I can tell you. So, hey, Egan, what would Matt Nahagan have to say about Damon's appearance on the show today? Like, because if he's doing an air check, what would he say to him?
Probably, I think if you would sum it up in two words,
it's bad.
See, that's what he give you that. We have
a lot of work to do.
We have Nahagan drops that still run all the time on this station.
Oh, can you please put them in an audio file and send them to me?
Yeah.
He's the gift that keeps on giving. And he hasn't been here in 6 years.
He hasn't been here in 6 years, and he's still constantly talked about. So, hey,
leave your fingerprints everywhere you go.
Damon, thanks for not waking me up at an odd hour, and I'll join your show tomorrow, so at a very convenient time for me. So we appreciate
that. I'm glad that we have a home and home schedule. I'm about to have a 3-year-old standing on my chest in the next 20 minutes anyway. So
all right.
We're good.
That's awesome.
Great to join you.
All right. Dad. Love you, buddy. See you, man.
Thanks, Damon.
There you go. Damon Bruce joined us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day, and Comcast Business gets you ready for what's next. Okay. We are heading into the final stretch of the show today. And it's brought to you by Stretch Zone. And Bob, I'm so happy in honor of your birthday, I'm getting stretched today. Because I had to switch my Stretch Zone day to Thursdays now. It's disrupted my whole life.
Oh,
but
man.
Now it's my Stretch Zone day.
Sounds like a first world problem.
It's now Thursday. Well, you know what's not a problem? Going in and getting a free stretch. All you have to do is mention my name at any of the 10 Stretch Zone locations all over the Delaware Valley. And you can get a free stretch, a free 30-minute stretch session. And I promise you, you're going to fall in love with what we've got going on at Stretch Zone. So that'll be coming your way. Tonight, we want to remind you, you join us tonight at Maple Shade. It'll be Bobby's birthday party. And we're having a PJ's happy hour to celebrate it. PJ Willihan's in Maple Shade. Don't miss it tonight from 5 to 7 p.m.
Yeah. Even a little later, John. You never know. It could run on and on.
And then, and then tomorrow.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I can't wait to see the reaction to this.
Rally House tomorrow in Fairless Hills. The most obscure Philadelphia jerseys are getting gift cards all morning long. And thanks to our friends at Window Nation, you have your opportunity to throw a football through a window, which will qualify you to win a Jalen Hurts autographed mini helmet, too.
Yeah.
So, which is great stuff. And we appreciate that. So it's going to be good in Fairless Hills tomorrow at the Rally House.
And it's open at 6 o'clock.
They will be there. 6 o'clock.
They open at 6. So if you want to stop by on your way to work, show us your obscure jersey. And it doesn't have to be Eagles. It can be any one of the teams around. I have one picked out, so it's going to be pretty good.
And buy some stuff tomorrow to get ready for the big parties this weekend. If you're going to the game or otherwise, you're going to need some of that to make sure you do it. That comes your way tomorrow. We got a lot going on. Now, sometimes we like to get into tap into the metaphysical. So Jason Torsdale's joining us coming up. A sports psychic. Will he be telling us we're in for a great, great Sunday? I think he will, but I don't know. We haven't talked to him yet. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey guys, bet the NFL Conference Championships with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge, where every play thrills like a two-minute drill. Get a no-sweat same-game parlay during the Conference Championships. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or if you already have an account. Get free bets back if your Conference Championship same-game parlay doesn't hit. Use promo code Bob. Same Game Parlays, they let you combine all your favorite bets for a chance at an even bigger payday. And you know there's so many things you can do on Same Game Parlays. You can build from money lines to player props, whatever you want to do. You can even bet popular Same Game Parlays that are already made for you. Are you new to FanDuel? We'll join with promo code Bob to see why it's America's number one sportsbook. Already have FanDuel? Well, then build your no-sweat same-game parlay today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21-plus and present in Pennsylvania. 3 or more legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Hey, if the winter blues have got you down, let Colonial Marble and Granite pick you up. It's their lowest prices of the season sale. You've heard Anthony crowing about his friends at Colonial Marble and Granite. So go on in now at Colonial Marble and Granite and get that kitchen redone. It is the showplace of the house, right, Bob? It's where you make all your
That's
great
where
creations.
Everything happened. I made homemade pasta this weekend.
Well, it was perfect because the Eagles won on Saturday.
Yeah, so we were pastaing it up on Sunday.
That's an awesome familial activity.
It tastes so good. Fresh pasta doesn't even, yeah.
Anthony's stuttering there a little bit. He's got the stutter going on. Hey, happy hour tonight, 5 to 7 again at PJ's in Maple Shade. Come on by and join us at PJ Wellahan's. So, this gentleman comes into us direct from Conshohocken. He is a Conshohocken native. And he joins us. He is a sports psychic. His name's Jason Torresdale.
It is great to be here, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
I'm fascinated, as I talked to you before you came on, by the idea of I was a total detractor from believing.
Of course. Most people are.
I was then exposed to a psychic medium who made me a complete believer. So I'm open to your messaging today, Jason.
Well, I know things, Bob. I know things. And I'm going to tell them to you right now.
You didn't even know the names. I mean, this is the game.
I just want to say happy birthday again, Bob.
Yeah, you guys, it's great. I mean, I don't know if he knows. Can we trust him? See, he doesn't even know. I mean, can we trust him?
You're not dead, so that's why he's
there. We go.
Right here, right?
He asked where Preston was when he came here, so I kind of got a little nervous.
I will say, I am not a psychic as most people are psychics.
You know who's playing this week?
I do. I am a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I got my Cody Parkey jersey on right now.
Which is ridiculous.
Obscure as can be. I love it.
He's the greatest player to ever play the game. So I don't know much about football. I know the game and I'm a fan, but I found this notebook. Just an average notebook with Lionel Richie on the cover.
Just an average Lionel Richie.
Exactly. As you can see, it is completely blank, but somehow when I put my hand upon it, I get messages from the future, and they're always right, and they're always about sports.
Are they in Lionel Richie's voice?
I wish they were. That would make it even better. Unfortunately, they're in mine.
Because you are the sun, you are the rain.
I am, yes. All night long, I am. Now, I will tell you this.
Hello.
I don't know if you listeners out there have a higher power, a God, a Yahweh, a Buddy Ryan, whatever it is.
I put that same
But
group.
I believe in it now. And if you'd like to, I can read you a couple of, if I think hard enough, I can give you a couple predictions for this weekend's game.
I think this is great. Now, the idea of, I'm a big believer that this offense is going to go off on Sunday.
Okay.
Against San Francisco. Could you get Lionel or whoever you speak through to give us a little heads up?
Okay, yeah. I'm getting something. Okay,
getting
here we go.
Something.
All right. I'm going to talk about San Francisco offense real quick. I'm getting San Francisco offense. On Friday, which is tomorrow.
That is tomorrow. You knew that.
I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, the 49ers will waive starting center Jake Brendel, and they will sign promising young center Ezekiel Elliott.
Wow, even after Sunday's game performance?
Yeah, apparently he's good. I don't know who that is, but apparently he's a very good center.
He didn't look good at his last center opportunity.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He knows tomorrow is Friday, though.
That's
like this guy, he knows
to be
his
about
stuff.
It so yes. far, yes.
This is very good.
Yes. Okay. All right, here we go. Nick Sirianni, our coach.
Yes.
Got snubbed for head coach of the year. You know,
they did.
But he will be very happy for some reason on Sunday night. And he will celebrate by watching the Chiefs game while eating day-old three-cheese pizza from 7-Eleven out of a garbage can.
That's amazing, because he's trying all of the chain pizzas.
Yes, yes.
And if 7-Eleven pizza, if you're not, is that on the rollers, or do they have it heated in the cardboard boxes?
Somehow they put it on the rotisserie. I don't know how that works, Bob.
It's like Boston Market there.
They really do.
John.
So when did you realize that you were a sports psychic?
I found...
Or have you realized it yet?
I found this notebook. Again, it's not me. It's someone speaking through me.
Okay.
So this is great.
I don't take any credit for this.
Well, that's the first smart thing you've said.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. This is really good. I mean, Bob, ask him something. I mean, he's obviously... He knows tomorrow's Friday.
Yes.
He's in on this.
Okay. Yeah. Do you foresee any injuries or anything happening to either team come Sunday in the game?
Ooh.
I'm seeing this. Despite Christian McCaffrey's calf contusion, he's a calf contusion.
Am I
reading that rightly?
Yes.
The Eagles' defensive line will have to worry about the runs.
Oh, no.
Speaking of worrying about the runs, Brock Purdy will have a very nervous stomach in the first half.
We're talking NFL poops.
Yes. Yes, we are.
That's why they have the tent.
Okay,
it is
one of the reasons they have
and
them,
the porta potty, so you can go in. You can do it. That book's amazing.
Yes, yeah, I'm seeing it. Right. Oh, I'm seeing another one. Wait, not only will it not be a problem this week, but it will grow even stronger and more agile and smarter. And next season's Dancing with the Stars runner up will be Lane Johnson's groin.
That's amazing.
Mark it down. Lane Johnson's groin gonna runner up. On Dancing with the Stars.
Pat, do you have anything you need to ask Jason? Because, I mean, he's nailing this NFC title game really well.
Am I getting
well.
It right? Again, I don't know
you're
much
getting close because you don't even know.
Again, this is coming through me, Bob.
Okay.
I do have a question. The Eagles, and because you don't know football, the Eagles have a quarterback named Mark Sanchez.
Okay.
And he's a little banged up. He's a little injured.
Okay.
Can you give me an outcome or a prediction of what we can expect? Because he's a huge piece of this offense.
Right.
And they need to score more points in their team. So can you break down a little bit of Mark Sanchez and what we could possibly expect from the Sanchez quarterback?
Okay, I'm not seeing a Sanchez. I'm seeing a is there a guy by the last name Gardner? Somebody Gardner?
No. Yeah,
Minshew
no.
Gardner.
Jim Gardner.
C.J. Gardner Johnson. He's the safety.
C.J. Gardner Minshew. I'm feeling that.
Oh,
that's what
no.
I'm feeling. I'm feeling that,
no.
Pat.
No.
Okay, the Eagles will be forced to turn to Gardner Minshew in the second half. After Jalen Hurts has to leave the game because it's boring when you're up 38-0.
Oh, yeah, it's good. I like that.
We'll give you that.
It's Lionel Richie singing in that book right now.
Yeah, Lionel is doing it. He's up all night long. Hello, baby.
So you're seeing something about, are you seeing the desert? Are you seeing cacti?
Cacti.
Because I'm thinking about the future of the Eagles and maybe you'd be able to have that.
I'm seeing something 2 weeks from now. Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
A fortnight, if you will. I will say, I'm seeing somebody in red. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes.
Jimmy Garoppolo will be healthy enough to start in the Super Bowl because any foot injury can heal by 2028.
There you go, Cersei. It could be a little off. There you go. Yeah.
So he'll be fine in 2028 when he reaches the Super Bowl.
So Arizona looks like it's then in the Eagles' future. I mean, it sounds really, really positive like that. Now, do you use your knowledge to wager on the games? Because that could be illegal on many sports books.
I feel like it's the Pete Rose clause. I can't do it. I feel like I have to remain honest to my people. I'm a huge fan of Charlie Hustle. speaking of hustling, I'm getting something.
Oh.
I'm getting something. This is a big one. Is there somebody from Boston? Scott from Boston. Boston Scott.
Yes,
there is.
There is one of them.
Boston Scott will run for 3 touchdowns on Sunday, and he will celebrate by almost being allowed on his favorite roller coaster at Dorney Park.
It's not funny.
Pat doesn't like that when
it's too close to home.
It's too close to home.
I apologize.
Pat was a body double on Game of Thrones.
Was he really?
Yes, he did.
It
wasn't for the mountain.
If I get married again, Pat's my best man.
I knew I was in the present of greatness.
You better not get married again.
Yes.
Well, I mean to the same person, obviously.
Okay.
I redo my vows.
There you go.
Yeah.
Got to redo them. Jason Tarsdale, how did you find out you had this talent?
Again, I found this book. Yeah, and that's all it is. It's like The Greatest American Hero. I found the suit and I wear it.
Believe it or not.
Believe it or not, I am walking on air.
For a new suit, maybe a new book, too. Yeah. Do you have a prediction on the game, psychic?
Yes, I have this prediction on the game. Win or lose, at the end of the game, Jalen Hurts will not shake Tom Brady's hand.
That's bold.
That's true.
That is a bold prediction.
He's not doing it.
He won't.
Yeah. And I will say this. I will say this. I'm feeling this. This week, AJ Brown is going to beat out any challenger he sees, unless that challenger is a 2023 Dodge Challenger from Gary Barbera's on the Boulevard.
Is Barbera the best?
Boy, I guess.
See?
There you go.
When you slip clients in, it really makes it even more special.
It really does.
And you're not even doing that.
No.
That's just coming through you.
Is Gary Barbera, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he's just you haven't seen the bear?
I guess so.
The bear runs around. I mean, runs around this town.
I do have some bad news.
Oh, no.
Unlike the 49ers, no one on the Eagles' D-line will get a sack this week.
Wow.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. I got that wrong. Unlike the 49ers, no one on the Eagles' D-line will get arrested this week.
Oh, yes.
That's what it is. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there is a little of that.
That's what I'm saying.
They've got some issues going on.
They're going to have plenty of sacks.
A little bit with that.
Wrongfully accused.
Yeah.
That is awful.
Yeah.
Is it wrongfully accused, Pat?
Yes.
Is it?
I think so.
Why do you think so? He's the psychic. He would know that.
If he was wrongly accused.
It's coming through me now. It's whispering powers.
Diana Ross is now talking through Pat.
Jason, so you're from Conshohocken.
I am.
What's the next hot area? I want you as a sports psychic to tell me what's the next hot area I should invest in, because 25 years ago, 30 years ago, Conshi real estate was cheap.
Yep.
Now it's expensive.
Yeah.
So where should I be looking to maybe invest?
We're going to Gulf Mills, baby.
Really?
That's what I'm saying.
You're seeing it.
Gulf Mills all the way.
So there it is, Gulf Mills.
Yep.
You can do that. Hey, Jason, we're looking forward to the
game. Do we have a score?
What's that, John?
Do we have a score?
I'm feeling a score. I will say this. Is there somebody named Kyle? I can give you some odds.
I have a son named Kyle.
Okay.
It's not that jerk.
No. Yeah. Kyle Shanahan.
Yes.
Will do something that will cost his team the win. And Vegas oddmakers are agreeing with this right now because there are 28-3 odds that he'll blow the lead in the second half.
There you go.
Oh, not bad.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Good job, Jason. Jason, how can people find you?
If they just come through my book, they come right through the book.
That's how they speak to you.
Sing a Lionel Richie song, and he'll come.
Lionel Richie, your buddy Ryan, and they will find Jason Torsdale.
Jason, good job, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
Happy birthday.
I appreciate it.
And let's go Birds.
Let's go Birds. Good job, Jason Parkey.
Excellent. Did we pay him to come?
I think we did.
Did that check cash?
That's when there's free wings. From PJs?
Yes, help yourself.
Free wings.
It is great. Free wings from PJs are there. That's all right.
Out in the hallway. Help yourself. There we go.
Go on out there. Good job, Jason. We appreciate
that.
Thank
you, Jason.
Hey, the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app's got the absolute best in-game betting experience. You can use some of that knowledge you just got from Jason Tarsdale. Download the Bet Parks app now at betparks.com. So you can go and you can take care of that. Sixers beat the Nets last night, and it was a dominant victory. And Buck, I mean, what I'm going to say is I think it was a cowardly performance from Ben Simmons. I think it was cowardly.
Was that a joke on my birthday? Was that like the non-birthday gift that you guys just gave me? That psychic?
No, it's a really good. I mean, it's awesome.
Was that?
I mean, he's talented.
Yeah?
That man is talented.
Huh.
He's got a lot. I think that it was a cowardly performance last night. I wouldn't want to go up.
It was a true performance. Look, I think that's who Ben Simmons is. And I'm not calling him a coward.
That was a cowardly performance.
He doesn't like to play basketball. And if you didn't get proven that in the first
you
half
did.
Of last night.
You proved it to me.
I mean, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I just decided to watch the national broadcast because I just like to hear different voices as much as I love Ala and Kate. But I wanted to hear it. And Doris Burke was like, You can't have this from him. He's basically become, and I think it was the play-by-play guy that said, he's become a role player. And Doris Burke saying, you can't have this. He went into the lane and shot a half-ass baby hook shot in the first half that he didn't really care if it went in or not. He showed no aggression. He passed up twice having the ball within 2 feet of the basket and again passed out of that. And then finally someone said at halftime to him, I believe, dude, you got to get more aggressive or get the hell off the court. And he did. And when he did that, the Nets became a much better team. Because a 6'10 guy going full speed who has the ball handling abilities of a Ben Simmons can wreak havoc on a defense. Why he doesn't know this, why he can't grasp this, is unbelievable to me. And yeah, I'm not going to call him a coward. I just really question, really, really question how much this guy loves the game of basketball.
I do not like anything about Ben Simmons, but last night I said, okay, he's going to say something. He's going to make a statement. He's going to step up. Wow.
Yeah. You know, he played well in the third quarter. The Nets looked a lot better when he was trying to do something, but then you have to take him out of the game. Vaughn has to take him out of the game in the fourth quarter because, A, it's a close game. You can't have him at the foul line. B, you want to spread the offense because you have your three-point shooting going, and you can't do that with him in the game. It's just, you know, what is he? And Doris Burke said it perfectly. This is a guy that was an all-star three of his first 4 years, and now he's relegated to this.
Hey, Vinny Gallo says that segment with the psychic, I don't know.
Oh, really?
LOL.
I'll be more definitive if you like. But
Jared says, that psychic, man, he was terrible. Bring back Shakeisms.
Guys,
now, that's sort of a shot, I think.
I don't think he was very good.
Wait a minute. Coach booked him?
At being a psychic.
Does he have a psychic degree? Is there a card that proves that he's really a psychic?
Was he from the psychic network that you used to call up?
With Miss Cleo?
Yeah. Was he from there?
I don't know.
Coach Answers?
RIP, Miss Cleo.
Yeah,
Miss Cleo died?
Yeah. Years ago.
She died
of
cancer.
I asked the psychic. He probably doesn't know either.
Yeah. That is terrible.
I wanted to get a sports psychic on before I had a chance to call him. He called me.
Wow, that's pretty incredible.
So that's how this works. If you just want to be on our show, you just call. Don't call Connor, because Connor actually screens the calls. Call Coach, and he'll just let you on.
Coach will just, not check your, I mean, did he check credentials?
No, I didn't have to. I think he found out that he had a Lionel Richie notebook, and he said, enough said.
You're like, it's in. He's there. He's part of it. So,
I'm trying. You know how I talk about basketball games, and I say this a lot, all games, that no matter what, you got to take something out of it.
Yes.
You lose 48-0, you take something out of it. You win 40, you take something out of it. I got to tell you, Coach, those 7 minutes, I took nothing out of it.
You don't think you're getting that back?
I don't. Now I feel even older than I turned today because I lost 8 minutes, 7 minutes of my life.
If our show isn't canceled, I would be shocked after that segment. It was so bad.
I think you're not looking at the bigger picture, though, that he knew tomorrow was Friday.
That he got that right.
Well, I think he didn't predict that our show would be canceled, which actually makes me feel worse about the situation. Because if he did predict it, I would have felt better.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Nothing that he said was wrong.
Well, that could be, if you want to look at it that way.
Besides your name.
you do that. But the thing is, though, the book didn't tell him the right name, I guess.
Hey, something's coming to me right now. It is a meeting between Joe Bell, corporate, HR, and Coach.
And Coach.
After the show. And there's a key card involved. They want him to bring a key card.
We're not traveling today.
We're traveling to Maple Shade.
There it is. We are going to Maple Shade.
We are traveling.
Hey, do you believe Nick Sirianni did the best coaching job in the NFL this season?
No.
I mean,
I lean towards Doug Peterson.
That's the one. That's mine.
Worst record in the league last year, number one draft pick, getting his team to a division title and then winning a playoff game and getting to the divisional round. And by the way, giving the Chiefs a four-quarter game. I lean towards Doug Peterson as coach of the year. But Nick Sirianni not getting a nod to the finalist ahead of Brian Daboll, I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't get that.
He spanked him twice. When Brian Daboll had to prepare for Nick Sirianni in a game where it mattered, He got spanked twice. Now, I realize the second time there was no, the balloting had already been done. So your vote was already in. But Brian Daboll, in the biggest game of the year, gave up 48 points. His team got spanked that he had to face. I don't understand that one. I think Doug Peterson's coach of the year.
Maybe I lean more towards the obvious. You know, teams rarely win 14 games, whether it's 16 games or 18 games. Teams rarely win 14 games.
That is correct.
That is a great job. You brought in, yes, some talent, but you got the most out of the talent that is C.J. Gardner-Johnson. A.J. Brown was already great, but you turned a non-believing fan base about a quarterback, for the most part, into him being a franchise quarterback. I mean, that's a great job to me. Don't forget, Jalen Hurts was an unknown going into this season. He's an MVP candidate. Nick Sirianni is an offensive coach. There's something to that. And yeah, I know A.J. Brown is here, and I know they have terrific weapons. But
There is something to that.
So my obvious, if I was asked to give three, my obvious one that I would write down first would be Nick Sirianni. And then I'd look throughout the league and say, oh, yeah, Doug Peterson did a really nice job. They were bad last year. Yeah, okay, I'll put him too. Kyle Shanahan this year had to go through three quarters. Okay. You know, but
then you
first
can come
and
to it,
foremost,
right.
I go to the guy that had the best season and see if he belongs. And Nick Sirianni belongs.
I look at a guy that was five and a half predicted Dab wins. He had the best in the AFC, and Nick Sirianni had the best in the NFC as far as exceeding win totals.
Yeah,
and then to go and win a game in the playoffs and win a division, I don't know. I don't know. It's hard both ways, but I think that Nick Sirianni did get screwed. He got screwed just because of the.
I don't.
You really don't.
No, I think the three guys that are there have a better case to be made. One is down to his third-string quarterback. The other had the worst team in football, and the other had, what, the seventh or eighth worst team in football?
Daboll was expected. Their over-under was 7.5. The Eagles was 9.5.
7.5 isn't a playoff team.
No, I got you, but he won 9. He won a game and a half better.
So he won a game and a half better.
And Sirianni was 9.5, and he won 14.
Even with the over-under, looking at it, and I understand that, the talent level that Sirianni has to work with is way better than the Giants. The Giants didn't add anything in free agency. Not only that, they traded a guy that was supposed to be one of their key pieces in Kadarius Toney. They traded him at the deadline because he wasn't working out. Then the other guy that they had that was supposed to be a big piece, Kenny Golladay, was terrible, and they still went to the playoffs.
So let me
ask, made Daniel Jones out to be a competent quarterback. I love Sirianni. I love the job he did. I just think these three have a better case.
Last year, was Sirianni one of the finalists?
I don't remember.
I don't think he was.
And I think
and the case that you make for Daboll right now, Pat, is probably
last year.
Twofold.
Except
I would say even more.
Yeah,
so.
But he didn't show up in the playoffs. He got spanked. But no, the game was over. He was voted before. Yeah. We had a lot of fun today. We'll have a lot of fun tomorrow. Coach is not booking the psychic again. So we were gonna have a good time out at Rally House,
unless he calls.
He might tell him to speak. Rally House in Fairless Hills. Your obscure Philadelphia jersey gets you a gift card tomorrow. First come, first serve.
That's going to be fun. And real quick, I just want to thank everybody on the YouTube chat, everybody everywhere that threw out happy birthday wishes. Love you all. Thank you so much.
See you tonight.
Appreciate it. See you tonight.
And I want to thank Tom from Alabama for wishing me a happy birthday.
Yeah, that's always good.
Exactly.
Maple Shade tonight from 5 to 7 for Bob's birthday. Support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partners, All Seasons Comfort Control. And make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today. Go to 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. Because radio is just going to be very measured. We're getting towards the NFC title game. Very measured, very deliberate. Not ultra high energy today, right? Oh, it's going to be off the charts. Don't miss it.
Might be pretty good.
John Kincaid Show. See you tomorrow at 6 live in Fairless Hills. Have a great night, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.